is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
Slipping in the polls on the eve of an election year, President Bush forcefully defended his handling of post-war Iraq and the economy Thursday in a visit to the nation's first presidential primary state. Bush recast his usual road remarks into a speech that portrayed him as a decisive leader who has dealt with challenges arriving from terrorist attacks, two wars, and an economy that slipped into recession shortly after he took office. But unwelcome news awaited Bush in the new poll at New Hampshire. The statewide survey found that 54% of adults approve of Bush's handling of Iraq, down from 64% in June, and for the first time, less than half, 46%, said they approved of his handling of the economy, according to a poll by the University of New Hampshire Survey Center. Nationally, Bush's approval ratings have dropped to the lowest levels of his presidency in recent weeks. Virtually every food product in the United States will soon have to be registered along with its supplier as part of the fight against terrorism. Figuring that the best way to protect the nation's food supply is to keep better tabs on it, the government is requiring some 400,000 facilities in the United States to register themselves and their products with the Food and Drug Administration. In addition, anyone importing food from abroad will have to give regulators advance notice before its arrival. 2 hours for food shipments coming across the border by truck, 4 hours if aboard planes or trains, and 8 hours if by ship. Governor-elect Arnold Schwarzenegger introduced key members of his transition team Thursday, saying the first thing they would do is conduct an audit to find out just how serious the state's deficits are. Schwarzenegger on Thursday also called on Governor Gray Davis not to make any more appointments or sign legislation in the waning days of his administration, although Schwarzenegger acknowledged it is Davis's right to do so. Davis spokesman Stephen Maviglio said Davis will continue to make appointments and act on legislation. He added, the governor-elect might be interested in learning that bills that Governor Davis does not act on before October 13th automatically become law. In California, the governor may veto a bill, sign it, or allow it to become law without signing it.
More news after this.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black, and if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today won't be around for our children and grandchildren. The Earth's resources are limited. Voluntary family planning improves health while helping slow population growth, and that's good for our planet. Help build a healthy future for us all. Visit www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
Police didn't have to use DNA or fingerprints to track down a Muncie, Indiana man accused of breaking into a vacant house. They traced his dentures. Investigators said Paul D. Lee's false teeth apparently fell out when he stumbled after breaking into a house that was being remodeled. A relative of the home's owner found the dentures in the garage the morning after the September 23 break-in and called police.
For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, Sneezy, go to sleep.
I can't.
You could if you take NyQuil. It'll help your symptoms. So you'll sleep great. You know, like you do when you cuddle on the couch with a warm fleece blanket, a cozy fire, and a chick flick.
Now that's my kind of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Give me that.
NyQuil. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved Liquicaps.
What is the price of a city's soul? The top bid so far is $166 million. That's the sum that one company has paid to get corporate branding rights to New York City. In accepting the cold cash, Mayor Michael Bloomberg has callously changed this great city's slogan from the Big Apple to the Big Snapple, having now made the British-owned beverage conglomerate the official drink of New York. The Snapple deal is but one of a sweeping and smarmy sell-off of the proud city sold to assorted brand-name hucksters. To handle the devilish deals, Bloomberg has even hired a chief marketing officer who blithely proclaims that this is the start of a select number of really high-quality partnerships. High quality? Check it out. For its cash, Snapple will get the exclusive right to place its vending machines in all city properties, starting with New York's 1,200 public schools. The claim is that Snapple's fruit blends, Yoo-hoo drinks, canned water, and iced tea are better for kids than, say, Coca-Cola, which has been banned from the city's schools for nutritional reasons. But hold your empty calorie, sugar-loaded concoctions right there, say nutritionists. It turns out that Snapple's fruit drinks have even more calories and sugar than Coca-Cola does. The Center for Science in the Public Interest reports that the Snapple drinks are pretty much the same as a 12-ounce Coke. And as for Snapple's cans of water, one nutrition leader wonders why children are being charged to get a simple drink of H2O. Water is a right, she says, adding that New York is supposed to have the best tap water and we're asking children to pay a dollar for Snapple water. Mayor Bloomberg, however, is a corporate creature who can't even begin to grasp the concept of free water. He says, I don't think in this day and age we can take vending machines, or should, out of the schools. This is Jim Hightower saying, it's time to put the public back in our public schools and get the corporate profiteers out.
The Mr. Rogers Parenting Book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you for joining us. Program produced by Catherine Day. Robin Bittman announces. The phone number here is 800-TALK-YES if you'd like to participate. And if you're the shy type, you want to email MikeDMalloy@earthlink.net. Well, at the end of today's program, Rush Limbaugh tossed the key over the transom and floated his way into drug rehab. I hate predictions about politics or about anything, but I'm predicting his career is finished. Yeah, which is going to open up an awful lot of jobs from noon to three in all kinds of markets across the country. Limbaugh made his statement at the end of the program. He announced on his radio program he is addicted and that he's checking himself into a treatment center immediately. Now, this is very much exactly the same thing that mafia dons do when they're about to be indicted. The mafia attorney will say, Luigi, listen, let me tell you something. You know, you're in real trouble here, so check yourself into a hospital. What you got? High blood pressure, maybe, or heart condition. Okay. So we've seen this movie, haven't we? In his statement, he said, "I need to tell you today that part of what you've heard and read is incorrect. I'm addicted to prescription pain medication." Well, there's his first lie. It's not prescription pain medication, Rush. Prescription pain medication, when you use that in a sentence, it indicates that somebody prescribed it for you. No one prescribed this for you. These were street drugs, pal. You were nothing but a street drug user, all right, who prevailed upon your maid, for Christ's sake, to go provide you, to put herself in jeopardy and provide you with your drugs. So don't call it prescription pain medication, you lying thug. It wasn't prescription pain medication. It was street drugs. You're part of a terrorist group that finances itself through the sale of illegal drugs. Rush, he said he first became addicted to painkillers some years ago. Yeah, well, what he said was around 1998. So I guess this is Clinton's fault. Somehow, his sobbing sob sister ditto heads, who are now all of a sudden finding great compassion for this monster, will blame it on Clinton. Limbaugh said he's not making any excuses and that he is no role model. Duh. You're not a role model. No, I guess not. He said, I refuse to let anyone think I'm doing something great here. Okay, who's thinking that? I don't know. Did anybody think that? He said, when there are people you never hear about who face long odds and never resort to such escapes, they are the role models. Yeah, but Rush, those are the very same people who you have spent the better part of your career slamming into the ground, mocking, spitting on, lifting your leg and peeing all over, making fun of for your brain-dead audience. You want some examples? Rush Limbaugh Show, December 9th, 1993. We're going to let you destroy your life. We're going to make it easy. And then all of us who accept the responsibilities of life and don't destroy our lives on drugs, well, we'll pay for whatever messes you get into. December, same show. I'm appalled that people simply want to look at all this abhorrent behavior and say people are going to do drugs anyway, so let's legalize it. It's a dumb idea. It's a rotten idea. And those who for it are purely 100% selfish. And on a program, on October 5th, 1995, he said a bunch of stuff. And he says, what this says to me is that too many whites are getting away with drug use. It's probably the only time Rush made a comment like this. Too many whites get away with drug use. Too many whites are getting away with drug sales. Too many whites are getting away with trafficking in this stuff. And the answer to this is not to start letting people out of jail because we're not putting others in jail or breaking the law. The answer is to go out and find the ones who are getting away, to convict them, send them up the river. Yeah. And Bush weighed in the other day. Said Rush is a great American. I'm confident he'll overcome any obstacles he faces right now. Yeah, really? Well, at BuzzFlash, the following is written. Why was this Bush statement released leaked to the press after Limbaugh was exposed as a whining bigot? Who got found out? Why did Bush make this statement when he must have known that Limbaugh was under investigation for popping thousands and thousands of illegal pills? Because Bush needs Rush to spin the White House lies. Without the daily demagogic drivel of Rush and Fox News, the Bush cartel would collapse like a lanced souffle. Bush would support Rush as a fine American if he were caught passing military secrets to Osama bin Laden. Bush would call Roger Ailes a great patriot if he were caught in bed with a goat and a 12-year-old boy. Without these two con artist clowns, the Bush cartel would be exposed, and many of its lead board members face prosecution. So Rush will get his rehabilitation treatment, and no doubt the Noel Bush special treatment from the courts in Florida. Every drug user deserves jail and AIDS terrorists, according to Bush, except for the propaganda shills and relatives of the Bush cartel. Yeah, it's a disgusting story, but I'll tell you right now, we're going to talk about it a little bit, because this man has done more destruction to American society in the past 10 years than any terrorist organization. Than a 1,000 million screaming left wingers. This guy was poison. This guy was an absolute thug. Last Wednesday, Tommy Chong turned himself into the Taft Correctional Institute near Bakersfield, California. He had pled guilty back in May to selling bongs over the internet. And he's going to prison. Oh, he's in prison, even as we talk. Chong is 65 years old. He's a meditating, woodworking, charity-giving, inner-city youth-teaching father of six who's been married to the same woman for more than 30 years. Limbaugh? The LA Times says, while all bongs sold by Chong Glass and Nice Dreams, his company, were labeled for tobacco use only, a rarely enforced federal statute specifically names bongs as drug paraphernalia. So Chong went to jail. Most of the attorneys involved in this defense and prosecutors said they never heard of this law. Oh, and the court made Tommy Chong promise that when he got out, he would not profit financially from his case. I wonder if they're going to tell that to the pig man. Do I have sympathy for him? Not a bit. Not an iota. Not a tad. Not a bit. Nothing. Zero. Zip. A piece of refuse has been swept off the stage temporarily. Now, I've got some comments here. A lot of these came from democraticunderground.com in their forum section. Check it out. It is the best forum on the Internet. I should say second best and put mine up there first. But, you know, truth is truth. democraticunderground.com forums are the best on the Internet. Bart Kopp is good. I don't know where we register. Well, okay, Bart Kopp is second. Can we be third? Oh, that'd be Democrats.com. Are we fourth? All right. From Democratic Underground, I'm not going to give the names of all the posters or their handles, but just some comments. Let's see if the media spins this as, poor Rush, he's in our prayer. Or, Rush, crazed, drug-addicted lunatic, rants uncontrollably under the influence for 5 solid years. Yeah. Remember what Rush said about Kurt Cobain when Cobain was found dead, the founder of Nirvana? Rush said, Kurt Cobain was, ladies and gentlemen, a worthless shred of human debris. Nice, Rush. How about when Jerry Garcia died? When Jerry Garcia died, Rush said, when you strip it all away, Jerry Garcia destroyed his life on drugs, and yet he's being honored like some godlike figure. Our priorities are out of whack, folks. See, this is why compassion... I don't have a bit. Maybe next year I'll have compassion. And I'll tell you something else. This is his third trip, so he says, into drug rehab. Rush Limbaugh's ego is so massive that there is no way. I'll predict right now. He's not going to make it. He is not going to make it through. He might make it through drug rehab. As soon as he gets out, he'll be right back on drugs. And as far as following some 12-step program, when he comes to the part where he's got to go back to all the people that he insulted and degraded and denigrated and apologized, he doesn't have enough time left on the planet to do all that apologizing. From Democratic Underground again, a Rush spews hate, whether it's sexism, racism, nationalism, or just another opportunity to blame Clinton for whatever ails him. It all sums up to one thing, hate. The writer says, I hope Rush doesn't think 30 days in rehab is going to cure him of whatever ails him. He is addicted to a highly potent opiate drug that can be more powerful than heroin. Addicts can get themselves clean, but they need therapy and ongoing support through a counselor and a Narcotics Anonymous or Alcoholics Anonymous in order to keep clean. Maybe under the guise of an opiate haze, he actually was able to spew the hate that he had on his show every day. I'm hoping, the writer says, he'll come to terms with the damage that he's done. Another one here. Again, most of these are from democraticunderground.com, the best forum on the Internet. Seems only yesterday, Rush, you were calling Clinton a cokehead. The point is not the drug-taking, Rush, it's the hypocrisy. How long has Limbaugh spewed the worst hatred and bigotry, all the while talking about morals? Read his statement, prescription drugs. Don't lie again, Rush. No doctor was writing prescriptions. You were getting them on the black market. That's a crime, you know? And remember, when you do drugs, you help terrorists. I think he should be reported to Ashcroft. James Carville once said, when your enemy is drowning, throw him a brick. Limbaugh deserves this. He brought it on himself, and he's a vile hypocrite. Besides, the Freepers have spent the past week accusing us of viciously inventing these allegations. Here's another one. Democrats have always been sympathetic to people who have drug-related problems. We don't treat them as criminals. Rush has made huge bucks to spread lies and divisiveness. He has been a big proponent of incarceration for people with less problems than he has. Like all righteous, moralistic blowhards on the right, he is a money-making hypocrite. Period. More of this when we come back. Oh, yeah, you know what we're going to talk about. Stay with us.
Wait on. Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away Juicy gummies on Halloween.
Hmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, man, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells Juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want some smell or rush, get the stuff out of your nose. If you take a feeling spotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
Get the good stuff.
Right now would be a good time to come to Napa Auto Parts, because you can get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate. Remember, nothing lights up the road like halogen. And like everything Napa sells, our halogen headlights are manufactured to the highest industry standards. This is the good stuff. So come into Napa and get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate.
Get the good stuff.
Napa. Get the good stuff.
An email that I received from Ken Melman, who's the campaign manager of Bush Cheney 04. Last week I warned you, he writes to me, that liberal special interests had pledged to spend over $400 million to defeat President Bush. Since my message to you, the Washington Post has revealed that these liberal groups have already raised over $185 million of their $400 million goal. They have already begun spending it on ads to defeat our president. This confirms that we will face a tough, well-funded Democrat attack campaign. While the Democrats will have endless soft money to spend attacking President Bush, I hope we'll have your help. Will you stand with President Bush and help build the strongest grassroots campaign in history by making a contribution today?
Oh, President Bush, he just can't raise money. If they only had a brain.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
And that the message of our parents must be unequivocal. Don't use drugs.
Right. One pill makes you larger, and one pill makes you small. And the ones that mother gives you don't do anything at all.
Oh, I know. We're going to drive you crazy with this music tonight, aren't we? Back to the best forum on the internet, that would be Democratic Underground. Just some comments. I went through this afternoon to see what folks over there were talking about, and so I'm not giving the names of everybody who posted there, but Here's another one. Do you think it's just fine for that creep to lambaste drug addicts, even saying they should be deported while he's in the same boat? After all, this scumbag is the most widely listened to radio personality in the country. Bottom line, are you saying that he can demonize people engaging in the same illegal behavior as he is and get off scot-free while they are sent to jail? Next one. Don't forget, Rush was happy about Clinton's remark about, you know, that smoke but did not inhale remark. No mercy! regarding tax cuts to the rich, I'm still at Democratic Underground. The tax cuts to the rich eliminated funds for the very successful drug treatment programs here in Pennsylvania. If Rush wants to take responsibility and redeem himself, let him put some of his millions into treatment for the poor that is no longer available. He's lucky. He's not facing jail like a poor oxy-dependent addict would be. Hello. Here's another one. His drug-induced rantings helped us help get us where we are today. Thousands might still be alive if that junkie hadn't been given a mic. You can't deny this stuff, truth seekers. Here's another one. I am not sorry. How many lives did he spew while being high? How many lives did he affect? These ditto heads took him as a god. They believed every damn word he said. I hope he falls and never gets back on the bandwagon about how high and mighty he is and the pig party that he defends. Here's another one. Will the ditto heads desert him now that they realize they've been blindly following the drug-induced ravings of an addict, the sort of person they have been told to hate and despise and that belongs in prison? Yeah, it's not so much the drugs, is it? It's the hypocrisy. Here's another one. And this guy plays a lot of golf. I don't know how someone with two herniated discs in his neck can swing a golf club, much less play it consistently, even with pain medication. That's what he said in his statement when he signed off today. You know, I've got herniated discs in my lower back, and, you know, another one. I don't feel a whole lot of pity either. The man is one of the people directly responsible for the destruction of constructive political discourse in this country. He is at the forefront of the people responsible for creating the right-wing hate machine that now lurks among us, spawned worse than the likes of the savage wiener spewing hate and intolerance 5 days a week. And now we're supposed to feel sorry for the brown shirt? Well, boo-hoo-hoo. I hope he ends up in prison, being made to squeal like the pig he is. I hope Coulter and Savage go down ugly next. Go down ugly. I like it. Woo! Woo! That Democratic Underground crowd knows how to say it in a very few words, don't they? Here's another one. I will never cut him any slack. Hi, all. For years, Rush Limbaugh has inflicted his brand of hate and venom. He has corrupted the minds of untold millions. He has mocked our democracy, mocked our political process. He has demonized and denigrated whole groups of Americans. He has profited from the suffering of others. He has squandered the public trust. Is this man worthy of our sympathy? I think not. Feed him to the lions! Oh, yes, it is. I'm sorry. Am I gloating? I am gloating that a hypocritical son of a bitch got brought down by his hypocrisy. Not only is he a drug addict and abuser, but he does it on the black market. These are not prescription drugs, Rush. No one wrote a prescription for them. These are drugs that you got through a criminal enterprise. Deal with it. In the back of a limousine. Yeah.
high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
More startling revelations in a case involving two former workers at an IBM disk drive factory in California. They're suing the company for exposing them to toxic chemicals, which they say gave them cancer. A couple of weeks ago, the company inadvertently released a mortality study, which confirms that IBM knew its workers were afflicted with various cancers at rates higher than the general population. This week, worker questionnaires were made public. Dozens of workers have complained about headaches, blackouts, and other health problems while working around the chemicals used to make disk drives. And in their questionnaires, they say they asked management about the health issues but got the runaround instead. The trial in the California case is scheduled to begin on Tuesday.
Chicago began digging out from under 9 days' worth of garbage yesterday. Trash collectors with the Teamsters Union settled a strike with 17 of the Windy City's private waste disposal contractors. 3,300 waste haulers will see wages and benefits increase by 28% over the five-year contract, including an immediate dollar-per-hour raise. Previously, wages for trash haulers were as low as $10 an hour. The city's public trash collectors will assist as the Teamsters members try to move a mountain of backlogged garbage by Monday, just in time for the return of the Chicago Cubs to Wrigley Field.
An unconventional lobbying campaign involving the Amish has begun in Congress. They're asking that Amish children be exempted from federal labor laws. Many Amish begin apprenticeships in various crafts, usually after finishing the eighth grade. They say federal child labor laws restrict the duties Amish children can perform as apprentices, which violates their constitutional right to freedom of religion. The bill, H.R. 1943, currently has 41 co-sponsors in the House, but there's no companion bill in the Senate yet.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
I could have passed a background check on the standards applied on the most stringent conditions when my dad was president of the United States, a 15-year period.
I want a new drug, one that does what it should. One that won't make me feel too bad, one that won't make me feel too good.
27 before the hour. So to all you conservative lurkers who listen to this program and, like good little lurkers, don't dare call in because I'll slam you to the ground, I have a question for you. How does it feel to be played for such a fool by your leader? The way he scream on air about mandatory sentences for drug users, this is like Bill Bennett and his Book of Virtues, you know, this gambling, freaked-out addict, fool. Is there a single Newt Gingrich and his assault on Clinton's, what do you want to call it, rendezvous? I can never say the word on on the air. And it turns out that Gingrich is stooping anything that gets within sight. Limbaugh, mandatory sentences for drug users, then he goes home and gobbles literally handfuls of little blues, which according to John Ashcroft means he's supporting the terrorists. How does it feel, once again, you ditto monkey freaks, to be deceived again and again and again and again? This never happens from the left. We come right out and tell you that we're junkies, or we chase women, or we chase men, or we're gay, or we're not gay, or you know, whatever. It's always right out in front. God, I hate hypocrisy. I hate sneaks, and I hate hypocrites, and I hate liars. And Limbaugh is all three. He's a trifecta. Here he is in his own words, and then we're going to go to your phone calls. This is Rush, Death by Temptation, Limbaugh. The last few minutes of his program today. So he's been addicted for years. Years. And he made himself go deaf.
I am addicted to prescription pain medication.
Street pain medication.
I first started taking prescription painkillers 5-6 years ago when my doctor prescribed them to treat post-surgical pain following spinal surgery.
Aww.
Unfortunately, the surgery was unsuccessful, and I continued to have severe pain in my lower back and also in my neck now due to two herniated discs, pain which I'm still experiencing because of that. Rather than opt for additional surgery for these conditions, I chose to treat
become
the pain
a junkie.
With prescribed medication. And this medication turned out to be highly addictive.
Now, is this the prescription your maid prescribed in Denny's parking lot, you lying bastard? Oh, you got it. You got pain in your neck? It doesn't seem to bother you when you go play golf. Boy, you can just swing that golf club, Rush, and hold that big fat-ass cigar in your mouth and go back on your radio program and talk about sending people to Zurich or London who happen to be addicted. Oh, go down, sucker. Here he is again. Maybe a third time's a charm. Eh? Al Rushbo? Megadoses, Rush.
Over the past several years, I've tried to break my dependence on pain pills, and in fact, I've twice checked myself into medical facilities in an attempt to do so. But I recently agreed with my doctor about the next steps. So,
jail.
Immediately following this broadcast,
I'm going to get high.
I will check myself into a treatment center for the next 30 days. To once and for all break the hold that this highly addictive medication has on me.
Yeah, it's not you. It's the demon meds, right? Oh, the demon meds have me. Oh, Jesus. Oh, the little blues. They've got me. I don't know what to do. I'm going to do it in 30 days, though. It's disgusting. Think of the people tonight who are in prison because they like to smoke a joint, who are in prison because they were addicted to street drugs like Rush. Think of them. Think of them. I have tried twice. I have checked myself into medical facilities twice. Well, Rush, you said a moment ago you've always been honest with your audience. Why are we only hearing about this now? Honesty, Rush? You mean when you're faced with indictments, when you're faced with the cops and the feds, when everybody is standing there with warrants, possibly, when you're going to have to, you know what he's going to have to do now? Part of the plea bargain, it's already being worked out. I mean, this guy is worth more money than you and I knew existed. And rich white men never, never go to jail. Do they? But Rush right now is working, his lawyer, the criminal defense attorney, Roy Black, is working a deal where Rush will snitch on the people who supplied him. In order to keep his ad, this is what they do. This is what the drug laws do. This is what drug cops do. Guess what, Mr. Limbaugh? You are in it so deep, it's amazing you can breathe. But I'll tell you what, we have it out for you. We want you to become a snitch. So not only is he a lawbreaker, a drug addled freak, a liar, a destroyer of the truth, now he's going to become a snitch. How do you right-wingers feel, huh? How about your boy now? Well, he says it in this comment.
Well, I want you to know that I'm no role model. And I refuse to let anybody think that I'm doing something heroic here, doing something great here. When there are people that you have never heard of, people you never hear about,
yes,
they are the role models, if anybody in this is a role model.
Uh-huh.
I'm not a victim.
No, you're not. You're a freak.
And I'm not going to portray myself as a victim.
No, you're
I'm not going to allow anybody to portray myself as a victim.
Who's trying to?
I take full responsibility for this problem.
Yeah, you know what, Limbaugh, I remember one of his quotes one time. He said he was busting up on people who do cocaine.
Every time they put their head down and honk up a line, they're making a decision.
Really, Rush, is that it? Is that it? Or were those people suffering from the same kind of addiction that your hypocritical ass has now been caught in, huh? Every time you took one of those little blues or one of those little whites, were you making an informed decision, Rush, huh? Were you making a decision to remain a junkie while you went on the air, stoned on your ass, lying, destroying the country? Did you, Rush? It's not about your addiction, Mr. Limbaugh. It's about your hypocrisy. Okay, what about the crimes you've committed? Buying illegal narcotics from your maid in Denny's parking lot is a crime, Rush!
At the present time, the authorities are conducting an investigation.
Duh!
I have been asked to limit my public comments until this investigation is complete.
That's what my lawyer
said. So I'm only going to say that the stories you've read... Stories you've heard contain inaccuracies and distortions. And I'm going to clear those up when I am finally free to speak about them.
In 2020, huh? No, I don't think so, Rush. No, you're not going to clear up what distortions? Somebody said you were taking 80 pills a day and you're going to fess up and say, no, actually it was 100? What distortions, Rush? What inaccuracies? God, I hate this man. I hate his hypocrisy.
Well, Mike, it's not good to hate.
Yeah, that's what liberals and progressives and Democrats have. That's what we've always said. That's what we said, right? It's not good to hate. So we try not to. We try to understand. We try to cut deals. Okay. Look, I'm a Democrat. I'm a liberal. You're a Republican. You're a conservative. Can't we work together?
No, screw you, Clinton, 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 Clinton.
God. All right, last email, and then to your phone calls. This is from T. Hey, Mike, I must admit I'm trying to compose this after three quick pints from the local watering hole just a block and a half away, no driving. But I must vent on the pigman. So today the pigman decided that he would come clean about his addiction to pain pills and all the joy contained therein. My response, good, you hypocrite. Where were you during your 5 years of better living through chemistry to show compassion for those with real difficult circumstances as you decided to pop little blues? Hannity and Tony Snow and the rest of the whores can now talk about how courageous you are. However, you are still nothing more than a little plutocrat whore in my book. You mock those who are a weaker than you and talk about how one needs to be able to pull oneself up by the bootstraps while you pop everything in sight to make it through another grueling 3-hour stint on radio. This filthy plutocrat will check him into the Betty Ford Clinic du jour and then go back to work with cries of, you beat it, Rush! You're a great American! Yeah! I can think of few greater hypocrites than this. I'm rich. I can fail. You're poor. You can't. One would hope the man would learn humility, but I'm not holding my breath. The pig man. The symbol of how money can buy you, perhaps, out of addiction. T. Yeah, well, thanks, T. How many of us know somebody who's... I've known... I said the other night, a clutch of people. especially during the 80s and the early 90s, who were just absolutely slammed on cocaine. Back when you had medical people in this country saying, oh, well, cocaine, one nice thing about cocaine, you can get high and it's not addictive. Oh, Jesus. I watched. Did I ever try it? Hell yes. Did I ever run a light up my nose? Hey, more than one, 10, 50, 100, until one day it occurred to me, this stuff is dangerous. End of story. I've said on this program, there's not a drug out there I haven't tried. But I'm not absolutely not an addict. Or a hypocrite. Nor a political candidate. Oh, my God. So it's not about the addiction. But as I, you know, as this story has rolled across the fruited plain, border to border and coast to coast, in the past few days, I can't tell you how many times I've thought about the people who are sitting tonight in some roach-infested, screaming, banging prison cell someplace because they got involved in illegal drugs. And I'm not talking about kingpin dealers. I'm talking about people that had maybe 1/20th the involvement of Rush Limbaugh. And how many times, dear God, I cannot tell you over the past 8, 9, 10 years, when I was watching people I was closely involved with, friends, no relatives, a lot of friends, a couple of one girlfriend, guy friends, people that I saw struggling, absolutely struggling with addiction. And listening to Limbaugh slamming these people as if they were trash and scum and filth and belonged in jail. Mercy or pity for Limbaugh? Not an ounce. I can't do it. Maybe some other time. You know, I've said it a million times. You want to get ass, you got to bring ass. You want to get sympathy and empathy, you got to bring that too. Chris is calling from Boca Raton. Hey, Chris.
Mike?
Yes.
Hi. I'm jubilant. This is wonderful. I'm sorry. You know, Mike, I got to ask you, you're in the radio business. What will this do? This guy's got to have a contract that he's got to call for.
Yeah, most radio contracts have a clause. It's called the moral turpitude clause. And some of them are stricter than others. When I worked at ABC, it made it very clear, if even a rumor was floated about me where it concerned sex, drugs, or rock and roll, my ass was gone. Even a rumor. It didn't have to prove out to be anything true. That's why I said the other night, the one thing people in media, especially in the so-called news business, never want to do is become part of the story. Because once you become part of the story or the story, you're finished. That's the end of it. So that's why I'm saying Clear Channel, Premier Radio Networks that own this thug, that paid him $250 million for 8 years of sitting behind his golden microphone 3 hours a day. I would imagine when the story broke, one of the first things they did was get on the phone with Limbaugh's attorney and figure out some way to figure out a buyout or something. Now, you might think, well, no, these right-wingers are just sick and crazy enough that they'll stay with their boy. No, this is the radio business.
Sure.
And I have a very strong feeling, enough so that I've made the prediction. His radio career is over. It's gone. It's ended.
You know, Mike, since I've been hearing this, I've caught his show a few times. It's grotesque. But all I've been saying is, you know how he does that.
Right.
I'm elated. I'm a very happy person right now.
Payback's a bitch. You know what I'm saying?
And we can only hope he goes to prison with a bunch of badass black guys. And,
well, that's kind of an ugly thing to say. What about badass white guys?
Well, no, because he's a bigot.
Oh, because he's a bigot. Right,
I think what goes around definitely comes around, Mike.
Well, the Hindu idea, I guess it's Hindu, idea of karma, and the Newton's, is it second law of motion? For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. That's karma. That's karma. It's in Hindu mythology. It's also in physics. So here it is for Limbaugh. The terrible, terrible damage that he has done. And who would have thought, honest to God, that Rush Limbaugh, would be hoist on the petard of illegal street drug addiction. Oh, my
jubilance.
God.
Jubilance, Michael. Hey, Mike, thank you for this for the show.
All right.
We enjoy it every night.
Well, thank you, Chris.
Last night you sounded depressed. Tonight you're up.
That happens.
Thanks, Mike.
All right. Take care. I ran out of little blues, Chris. That's last night. All right. Quick break. We'll be right back. And back to your phone calls. Stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy.
Everybody's out there. Do all my favorite analgesics, anything to numb these feelings. Turning on the television, this might be my last decision. Everybody's out there looking for a new pill to make them happy like the old pill used to do. Everybody.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Ugh. You'll sleep like a...
Okay, up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red 90?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold. Medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra, and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
This is Mike Molloy with the IE America Radio Network. Want to know more about our talk shows and personalities but don't know where to look? Do you want to find out what guests are scheduled or what topics we'll be discussing on our programs? Would you like to participate in live chat or vote in interactive polls? All this and more is available at the IE America Radio website. Bookmark it, stop surfing, and get active. Visit www.ieamericaradio.com today.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
fellow Americans. This is Laura Picklesbush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpback camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
Standing up to the flying monkey right, it's more of Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. You know, it's just been a hell of a week, hasn't it? A week or 10 days. You've got all these right-wingers exposing themselves to be either from a different planet or from hell or someplace. You got Pat Robertson talking about dropping a nuclear bomb on the State Department. Jesus, if I said that, I'd be arrested. You've got Karl Rove and Louis Libby and the rest of these thugs deliberately outing an undercover CIA operative. I mean, where does it stop? Where does it stop? You've got Limbaugh turning out to be a 6, 7, 5, pick a number, year-long drug addict who has been just absolutely dipping and shuffling his brain-dead listeners around like so many cards in a deck, just over and over again. Is there a single Republican national figure who is not a stone hypocrite? Is there one? I can't think. Can you, Kathy? Is there one? Any of these people, these moralizing, hypocritical thugs? Hey, ditto monkeys, if Russia's so honest and holds honesty as such a virtue, remember how he gutted Clinton, right? How come he didn't tell you all about his trips to detox? Ask yourself why he lied to you all these years. How many things, how many people have you known? Not you right-wingers, common, normal people. How many folks have you known who have been in a state of intoxication? I don't care if it's reefer or booze or pills or crack or coke or whatever. How many people have you known under the influence of something who started to pontificate and make grandiose statements? And you just look at them and go, Jesus, you know, why don't you go sober up and I'll see you tomorrow. Consider that Limbaugh has been doing this for 6 years. 6 years. Every single word that has come out of his mouth has come out through a drugged haze of total illegal addiction. Everything. All the while hammering Bill Clinton about Clinton's perjury, his lies. Oh, he got up there and lied about what happened between him and Monica. Oh, impeach the bastard. We've got to have a higher standard in this country. We've got to have a moral society. We've got to have honesty and decency. We've got to take the drug addicts, throw him in jail. We've got to take Clinton and burn him at the stake.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003. fellow Americans. This is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Slipping in the polls on the eve of an election year, President Bush forcefully defended his handling of post-war Iraq and the economy Thursday in a visit to the nation's first presidential primary state. Bush recast his usual road remarks into a speech that portrayed him as a decisive leader who has dealt with challenges arising from terrorist attacks, two wars, and an economy that slipped into recession shortly after he took office. But unwelcome news awaited Bush in a new poll in New Hampshire. The statewide survey found that 54% of adults approve of Bush's handling of Iraq, down from 64% in June. And for the first time, less than half, 46%, said they approved of his handling of the economy, according to the poll by University of New Hampshire Survey Center. Nationally, Bush's approval ratings have dropped to the lowest levels of his presidency in recent weeks. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld canceled a news conference Thursday in part to avoid questions about whether the White House recently reduced his role in Iraq's reconstruction. The White House said Monday it is creating an Iraq stabilization group to be headed by National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice, which will be responsible for handling the day-to-day administration of Iraq. Rumsfeld was questioned at Wednesday's NATO press briefing about his relationship with Rice, a memo she circulated establishing the new Iraq Stabilization Group, and whether he was in the loop. Rumsfeld was scheduled to brief reporters at a meeting of NATO defense ministers in Colorado. The defense secretary has said everything he has to say about it, Pentagon officials said. Virtually every food product in the United States will soon have to be registered along with its supplier as part of the fight against terrorism. Figuring that the best way to protect the nation's food supply is to keep better tabs on it, the government is requiring some 400,000 facilities in the United States to register themselves and their products with the FDA. More after this.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black, and if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today won't be around for our children and grandchildren. The Earth's resources are limited. Voluntary family planning improves health while helping slow population growth, and that's good for our planet. Help build a healthy future for us all. Visit www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
Police didn't have to use DNA or fingerprints to track down a Muncie, Indiana man accused of breaking into a vacant house. They traced his dentures. Investigators said Paul D. Lee's false teeth apparently fell out when he stumbled after breaking into a house that was being remodeled. A relative of the home's owner found the dentures in the garage the morning after the September 23rd break-in and called police. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com. We'll be right back.
You don't want to miss the first pitch of the playoffs for the second year in a row, so you're probably scrambling for dinner. Hey, think fast. Think eggs, like an omelet with mushrooms, cheese, and tomatoes, or anything else you like. Omelets are delicious, easy to make, and ready in minutes, so you get to the game on time, see the first pitch, your team sweeps the playoffs, and goes on to win the championship. All thanks to the incredible edible egg. Think fast. Think eggs. For other quick dinner ideas, visit AEB.org, the American Egg Board.
What is the price of a city's soul? The top bid so far is $166 million. That's the sum that one company has paid to get corporate branding rights to New York City. In accepting the cold cash, Mayor Michael Bloomberg has callously changed this great city's slogan from the Big Apple to the Big Snapple, having now made the British-owned beverage conglomerate the official drink of New York. The Snapple deal is but one of a sweeping and smarmy sell-off of the proud city sold to assorted brand-name hucksters. To handle the devilish deals, Bloomberg has even hired a chief marketing officer who blithely proclaims that this is the start of a select number of really high-quality partnerships. High quality? Check it out. For its cash, Snapple will get the exclusive right to place its vending machines in all city properties, starting with New York's 1,200 public schools. The claim is that Snapple's fruit blends, Yoo-hoo drinks, canned water, and iced tea are better for kids than, say, Coca-Cola, which has been banned from the city's schools for nutritional reasons. But hold your empty-calorie, sugar-loaded concoctions right there, say nutritionists. It turns out that Snapple's fruit drinks have even more calories and sugar than Coca-Cola does. The Center for Science in the Public Interest reports that the Snapple drinks are pretty much the same as a 12-ounce Coke. And as for Snapple's cans of water, one nutrition leader wonders why children are being charged to get a simple drink of H2O. Water is a right, she says, adding that New York is supposed to have the best tap water and we're asking children to pay a dollar for Snapple water. Mayor Bloomberg, however, is a corporate creature who can't even begin to grasp the concept of free water. He says, I don't think in this day and age we can take vending machines, or should, out of the schools. This is Jim Hightower saying, it's time to put the public back in our public schools and get the corporate profiteers out.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
Drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
There I am. Welcome back. 7 past the hour. You know, irony abounds. Yesterday in the LA Times, get this. This is under the headline in the LA Times, Work Rights, a former addicts administration lawyer urged the Supreme Court Wednesday to give employers the right to reject former workers who had used drugs or alcohol on the job, even if they had been rehabilitated. Companies are entitled to follow a policy of refusing to rehire workers who abuse drugs on the job, said Paul Clement, Deputy U.S. Solicitor General, in a closely watched employment case. At issue is whether recovered addicts and alcoholics are protected from job discrimination by the Americans with Disabilities Act. Now, wouldn't that be the height of irony if Premier Radio Networks told Rush, the jig is up, buddy, and Rush sued them under the ADA? An act that he has spent years denigrating and dumping on? Isn't this funny? The case before the High Court has what are called extraordinary implications because thousands of employers have the same rule banning the rehiring of workers dismissed for misconduct. According to a Washington attorney who is representing Raytheon, a defense contractor. This attorney said it would make no difference whether he was a thief or whether he was somebody who used drugs. Most of the justices sounded as though they agreed. Justice Sandra Day O'Connor and Antonin Scalia questioned whether a former drug addict was a disabled person.
What is the disability?
Asked Fat Tony Scalia. Since the rejected worker said he no longer had a drug problem. Oh, I see, Tony. That's right. Put him in a box. The guy had a drug problem. He's fired. He goes through rehabilitation. And now he can't be rehired. Why? Prima facie evidence. He was a drug addict. The case involves, in front of the Supreme Court, Joel Hernandez, a veteran missile technician in Tucson, turned around his life and wanted to get his old job back, according to his lawyer. In his recovery, after he went through detoxification and rehab for 3 years, he wanted his job back. His lawyer said, well, my client adopted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, so, you know, and he's clean and he wants his job back. And the attorney, or I'm sorry, Justice O'Connor said, all that adds up to is that he's not disabled. He found Jesus as his Lord and Savior, and you're before the Supreme Court? But again, the irony here. The Bush crime family is arguing in front of the Supreme Court that a company has a right to tell a former addict, get out of here. You cleaned yourself up. You got your life back together. Piss on you. We don't want you anyway. Get out of here. And then we have Limbaugh. Was Limbaugh using drugs on the job? Well, according to the statement given by Ms. Klein, his drug supplier, over one 47-day period, Limbaugh was buying OxyContin tablets from her at the rate of 93 a day. If these were 80-milligram tablets, he was ingesting 7,440 milligrams a day. Even if he was taking the 40-milligram tablets, that's 3,720 milligrams a day. The maximum therapeutic dose is 280 milligram tablets a day, or 160 milligrams. Rush was taking 465 times the maximum dose. No wonder he lost his hearing. It's amazing he's not dead. But these drugs are, since they're opiate derivatives, Rush must have a great interest in how the poppy crop over in Afghanistan is coming along. Since they're opiate derivatives, you build up a tolerance. Just like he said in one of the emails or one of the phone messages that are now part of the prosecutor's case against him.
Well, you know, Ms. Klein's, once you start taking this stuff, you got to have more and more and more. So get your ass out there and give me some more.
Man. Oh, it is Friday. Brother Sky Blue is calling in from Memphis. Brother Sky, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Mike. My thousands from world-famous Beale Street and here in River City can attest to you that I'm not only the greatest preacher in the world, but I'm also the greatest living blues guitarist.
I don't doubt it.
You know, black blues musicians are way overrated, Mike. just like black athletes are overrated. You know, if it wasn't for the white plantation owners breeding these tall blacks of men so they could reach way up in the trees to pick them cherries, well, blacks wouldn't have never been good at basketball.
Yeah.
I mean, well, how much talent does it really take for an 8-foot man to slam a ball through a 12-foot hoop?
Yeah, not much.
But, you know, wait a minute. Oh, wow, Mike. I'm getting a rush. Woo! I just popped an oxy about an hour ago. I'm starting to get off. I timed it just right, so I knew it'd start coming on when I got on the radio talking to you. You know, I love to get down and preach on the radio, man.
Uh-huh.
Oxy clears up my mind. It's so great. I just let the wisdom flow from God into my mind and out in my mouth. Woo! You know, oxy's are time released.
Oh, is it?
These heat rushes, they just keep coming in ways and ways. It's better than sex. You know, Mike, not that sex is all that great. I mean, it's overrated by the media, too. You know, bless her heart, my wife, she agrees with me. She says she knew I was the man for her when she found out about my erectile dysfunction. Did you say something, Mike?
No.
I'm having a problem hearing. I mean, but what is hearing? I mean, when the wisdom of God flows into your mind, who needs to hear? People need to listen to me. I don't need to hear all these small voices. They just confuse me. You know, oxys aren't really a drug, Mike. It's not like I get them from some sleazy dope dealer.
Right.
I get them from my maid, from her cousin's friend's friend. You know, it's like my maid gets me closer to God, Mike. I mean, maybe my higher power, I should say. You know, it's not like these dirty dreadlock Rastafarians smoke that wacky ganja weed and talk about jive. But thank God they don't drug test us preachers and broadcast. But I'm all for testing these common blue-collar workers and athletes. You know, we can't let – what if we let these tall, sweaty black men get drugs? They'd be bending our white women over couches and raping them all over the place. Mike, I think I'm going into a rehab resort for about 30 days, but that's no problem. My mate has a cousin that works there, too. So I'll get back with you in 30 days.
Okay, thanks, Brother Sky Blue. Jesus. That guy needs to have his own program somewhere. Oh, my God. He really needs to be, I don't know. He needs to be on Letterman. Oh, Sky Blue, I hope you always call this program. But, man, you need a much bigger audience, my friend. Who needs hearing when God talks directly to your head? You're right. I love Brother Sky Blue. Oh, jeez. Let me get it together here. Woo! Whoa! Oh! All right. My BP just went down 40 points. Thank you, Brother Sky. Man, if he ever puts together a church, I'm joining! Whew! Spitfire is calling from Anaheim, California. Hey, Spitfire.
Hey, you missed a good party.
No, I was just
at... on the board in the time on Sunday.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. We had a bunch of people show up, and all the women were dressed as maids, and they had obvious wires.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was like this microphone taped just above the bus line, you know?
Yeah, it's a Rush Limbaugh party.
Oh, yeah. It was a Rush Limbaugh party when the news first broke. You know, I mean, this one guy brought a box of pig noses for everybody to wear if they wanted to. And they did a little stage bit where somebody went up there and did a Rush Limbaugh impression.
Yeah.
And it terminated with the cops dragging him away from the golden EIB microphone.
Yeah.
And the last thing that he said as he was getting dragged off was, "I should have hired Arnold Schwarzenegger as my bodyguard. He would have groped the bitch and found the wire."
Right. Well, that's true.
But, yeah, you know, I thought of something. You know how we always end up referring to ourselves as truth seekers?
Yeah.
And we took the red pill. Gee, what color was Rush taking by the handful?
He took the blue pill.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that explains a lot.
Sure does.
It does indeed. Thanks, Spitfire.
Okay.
All right, sir. You have a nice evening. Oh, you know what's going to be the most popular Halloween costume this year? Is there still time? Damn, this is the 10th. I don't know if they're going to get them out there. Rush Limbaugh masks. Rush on smack. Either that or Carlton Heston dressed as Moses. I don't know. It's jeez. All right. I'm still trying to recover from Brother Sky Blue here. So let me bring in a therapist. She emails in, Mike, from a therapeutic perspective, Limbaugh's behavior can be described as projection.
As the
expelling feelings, wishes, or behaviors that the individual finds unacceptable or shameful by attributing the feelings to others. Yeah, this what Shelley's doing here is, of course, referencing the way Limbaugh spent any time he talked about addiction. You know, they were criminals and thugs and should be jailed rather than people who needed help. Shelley goes on, an example of this is when homophobic people transfer sexual feelings of their own that they consider dirty onto homosexual people, then make hateful comments about the behavior, about said behavior. Projection might partially explain Mr. Limbaugh's condemnation of people who abuse drugs. It could possibly explain a whole lot more. Yeah, I agree, Shelley. I agree. Karen in Bakersfield says, Rush said he was a victim. Nothing like trying to spin his own stupidity. I have no sympathy for him. No prayers from me. I could give a rat's ass about him. Plus, I do not believe his story. I thought the cable news channels were orgasmic over this breaking story today. He wants to be a hero, and they're going to make him into one. Drudge was on with Bill Press and Pat. He said everyone else should check their pockets before saying they say anything, as if we could afford to buy the pills he did. Limbaugh only came clean on the drugs after 6 years because he was outed. That's the only reason. Amazing how he gets a pass for buying drugs illegally for 5 or 6 years, and Arnold gets a pass for harassing and groping women. Gotta love those Republicans. Karen, Bakersfield.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
There are over 200 laxatives on the market today, and the one doctors recommend most is Colace Stool Softener Laxatives. That's because over the years, doctors have learned stimulant-free Colace capsules provide comfortable relief their patients can rely on. If you suffer from occasional bouts of constipation, try Colace capsules. If you do, we're sure we'll receive another important endorsement. Yours. For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, then you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
What is the price of a city's soul? The top bid so far is $166 million. That's the sum that one company has paid to get corporate branding rights to New York City. In accepting the cold cash, Mayor Michael Bloomberg has callously changed this great city's slogan from the Big Apple to the Big Snapple, having now made the British-owned beverage conglomerate the official drink of New York. The Snapple deal is but one of a sweeping and smarmy sell-off of the proud city's soul to assorted brand-name hucksters. To handle the devilish deals, Bloomberg has even hired a chief marketing officer who blithely proclaims that this is the start of a select number of really high-quality partnerships. High quality? Check it out. For its cash, Snapple will get the exclusive right to place its vending machines in all city properties, starting with New York's 1,200 public schools. The claim is that Snapple's fruit blends, Yoo-hoo drinks, canned water, and iced tea are better for kids than, say, Coca-Cola, which has been banned from the city's schools for nutritional reasons. But hold your empty-calorie, sugar-loaded concoctions right there, say nutritionists. It turns out that Snapple's fruit drinks have even more calories and sugar than Coca-Cola does. The Center for Science in the Public Interest reports that the Snapple drinks are pretty much the same as a 12-ounce Coke. And as for Snapple's cans of water, one nutrition leader wonders why children are being charged to get a simple drink of H2O. Water is a right, she says, adding that New York is supposed to have the best tap water and we're asking children to pay a dollar for Snapple water. Mayor Bloomberg, however, is a corporate creature who can't even begin to grasp the concept of free water. He says, I don't think in this day and age we can take vending machines, or should, out of the schools. This is Jim Hightower saying, it's time to put the public back in our public schools and get the corporate profiteers out.
Listen, there's all kinds of ways to treat substance. I understand that.
Twenty-four past the hour. A little bit later in this hour, if you don't have CNN on now, go ahead and do it, because Aaron Brown's Newsnight, they're going to have Al Franken on talking about Limbaugh. So I don't know what he's going to say. He's probably going to come out like a good liberal and say, well, we all ought to feel compassion. But according to the tease, it's going to come up probably in the next 20 minutes. So if you... It's okay. You can switch on CNN and, you know. Pete in Lakeland emails in, Mike, why is it that all news shows I've seen today covering Rush are interviewing doctors about his drug problems? Any other high-profile person, a liberal, an African-American, or an athlete caught in the same mess would find the talking head shows interviewing police or district attorneys or other tough-on-crime folks who would be telling us about the jail time they would be facing. Do minimum mandatory sentencing rules apply here? No, of course not. This is Limbaugh. Now, you know, I may have overstepped into the circle of wishful thinking when I said I think his radio career is over. Premier News and Fox News and the Bush crime family and MSNBC and Fox and the rest of them, they don't want to see Rush disappear, because Rush is such a great propagandist. This is awful. Karl Rove is like, oh my God, this is the same to Karl Rove as it would have been to Hitler to have found out that Joseph Goebbels was using illegal drugs. Well, I guess it wouldn't have mattered, would it? Christine in Wichita emails in, Mike, couldn't you see Rush in the Denny's parking lot with one of those little devils on each shoulder? And the one devil says, buy the 1,000 painkillers. And the other one's saying, no, buy the 1,000 Grand Slam breakfasts. Jay in Denver, regarding whether or not Rush's career is over, Jay writes, I'm not holding my breath. He speaks for the party that praises and admires the likes of Oliver North and G. Gordon Liddy. Maybe Rush will have even more credit with the thugicans now that he'll have a criminal record. Yeah, that's true. And a D. Ewer emails in, Eleni, is that how you say it? E-L-E-N-Y, Eleni? I think the devil is waiting for him at rehab. And like you say, the devil is going to pinch off his head and give it to the little demons to play soccer with. I only hope his eyes are wide open and he takes in every minute of it. Blah, blah, blah. Now he's been silenced for at least a while. Yeah, well, indeed. Dan is calling from Adrian, Michigan. Hey, Dan.
Hey, mega dildos there, Mike.
No, mega doses.
Listen, O'Reilly and Hannity are already outraged by how insensitive us liberals are being about this. And they're saying it illustrates our hypocrisy.
We want
people to get treatment, but then look how we're treating poor Rush.
Yeah, right. Isn't it amazing the way these bastards can spin anything?
Oh, they're incredible.
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
And they're mad at what John Kerry said last night at the debate. I don't know if you heard that, But what Kerry was talking about, prescription drugs.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, well, they're really offended about that.
Oh, yeah. Well, gee, the nerve of John Kerry to say something so crass.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I go back to Limbaugh back before he was national in Sacramento, as I was living at the time. And if you can believe it, he was even worse back then. There weren't hardly, you know, he watches what he says in a lot of instances now. But this guy, let's be honest here. This guy has contributed to making it virtually impossible for there ever to be ever be kind of any kind of bipartisan agreement on anything.
That's right.
He's made everybody hate each other when it
That's
comes
right.
to politics.
Absolutely.
And the people who worship him, even now on the internet, they were all saying that this was all just the National Enquirer, not to pay any attention to it and all that.
Right,
but did you notice his housekeeper said he had been to rehab twice?
Yes.
What did Rush say today? He's been to rehab twice.
That's right.
But and now my favorite with him, though, is that he used to scream, never trust a draft dodger.
Yeah.
And there are detailed, documented records of how he is truly a draft dodger.
Absolutely.
And the man, Mike, makes me sick.
He does. He does me, too. Thanks, Dan.
Bye.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call.
Well, it's not just me and it's not just you. This is all. It's the former talk show host. Far and wide, his name was known.
Thieves in High Places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
The west coast of the United States has to deal with smog from Asia. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Ozone is a component of smog, and ozone levels along the west coast have risen noticeably in some places. A recent article in a scientific journal says that day-to-day levels of ozone have risen by 30% in some places that are otherwise free of air pollution. The article says the reason for this increase is pollution that travels across the Pacific Ocean. Dan Jaffe is an atmospheric chemist at the University of Washington. He says most ozone pollution is tied to fossil fuel emissions. When these gases get into the air, they react with sunlight, and ozone is the result. Jaffe studied 20 years of ozone readings over the West Coast, and he compared them to air quality information and weather records from Asia.
There is lots of evidence that pollution in Asia has increased over the last 20 years, and there's also evidence that ozone over Asia has increased. So what we've done here is to put different pieces of this puzzle together. We analyzed the best data we can find on background ozone on the West Coast. That, combined with the fact that we know pollutants can get transported across the Pacific fairly efficiently, and the fact that we know that combustion has increased over Asia and ozone has increased over Asia. Putting all those together, the most likely conclusion is that that ozone increase in the West Coast is in fact due to Asian emissions.
Jaffe says the big message from this research is that when it comes to air pollution, we are all downwind.
That is really the message. I mean, our pollution here goes somewhere else. Emissions from North America impact European countries. Emissions from Asia impact us.
That's atmospheric chemist Dan Jaffe. His research was recently published in the journal Geophysical Research Letters. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're gonna kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring Fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boy, come on!
My
my fellow Americans. This is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Hey, conservatives, don't be afraid. Be very afraid. Here's more Mike Malloy.
I'll tell you what, let's join Aaron Brown, CNN, right now. Listen to Al Franken and Michael Wolff from New York Magazine talking about the Limbaugh thing.
I can't, you know, what Michael's talking about I think is true. I don't think this guy's going to come back and actually go through the 12 steps and turn his will over to a higher power and actually work a program of rigorous honesty, because that's, if he did, he'd have nothing. He'd have nothing left.
Last word.
Let me propose another scenario. I mean, the real issue here is the felony.
Yeah.
I mean, if he is charged, then even by his contract, he's off the air, the contract is null and void, he's finished. So right now, that has to be first and foremost on his mind. How do you avoid that? And the interesting thing is those 20 million people, if they stay loyal to him, if I were a prosecutor in Florida, I certainly wouldn't want to provoke them. He is and remains an incredibly powerful and insidious force.
Well, I'll give you powerful and I'll let you say insidious. It's nice to see you, Al. It's always nice to see you. Thanks.
Okay.
Both of you.
Thanks, Gaddy. He's truly a powerful and insidious force. And Aaron Brown says, well, I'll give you insidious. That's your words, not mine. I'm Aaron Brown. I don't want to feel the wrath of the right wing come down on my program. Let Malloy absorb that, not me. Michael Wolff, who writes for New York Magazine, and I don't know if you were listening to during our commercial break, but they were pretty much in agreement. His if the terms of his contract are adhered to, I know mine would. Mine would be. I know Tom Hartman's would be. I know Peter Werby, who works at a radio station in Detroit. His terms would be adhered to. Any of us who work in radio, you get caught in a drugs thing? Goodbye. Bye-bye. Back to the telemarketing job, which all of us have had. Think about Robin up in West Virginia. But that's what would happen to us common folk, us little people. Us little people. We would be toast. There'd be no more radio career left. But did you hear what Michael Wolff said from New York Magazine? If I were a prosecutor in Florida, given Limbaugh's 20 million ditto heads, prosecutors should think twice, what, before bringing charges? There are felonies involved here. You see, this is what it's getting down to, isn't it? This is what it's going to come down to. Does this rapacious right-wing neo-Nazi propagandist bastard who has been on radio for 10, 12 years now have a right to do whatever he wants to do because he has a lot of brain-dead followers? Is that what they're talking about already? Yes. Yes. God, he makes me sick. Always has. Well, no, I take it back. First two or three years that Limbaugh was on in the Atlanta market here, I thought, who's this guy? Boy, is he funny. Not realizing that he was just in the initial stages of becoming the minister of propaganda for the neocon, neo-Nazi right in this country, and that his objective was to destroy political discourse, to work very closely with Newt Gingrich, to cheapen and denigrate and degrade the great experiment that was put together 220 years ago in this country. That has been his sole function. He is an elitist pig. And he's not going to make it. I predict he's not going to make it. I don't know if you heard the part Michael Wolff saying, to go through the so-called 12 steps, to go through to really, or Franken, to declare yourself a junkie, an addict, and seek a higher power. Limbaugh doesn't have any higher power. Why should he? He is, when you have 20 million people who worship you, you are the higher power. talent on loan from the devil. Hey, Todd is calling from Santa Fe, our global pilot. How you doing, Todd?
How you doing, Mike? Talent on loan from OxyContin.
There you go.
There you go.
Mega doses, Todd.
I'll tell you what, karma's a beautiful thing, isn't it?
It's magic.
It is incredible. I never want to gloat over somebody's misfortune.
Nor do I. Nor do I.
Except in this case.
Except in this case.
Except in this case. This man has made a fortune. He literally makes $2 million a month demagoguing everybody, you know, taking advantage of people's misfortune, mm-hmm. preying on people that are weaker than him. And you couldn't have written a better script for this.
I know.
I mean, think about this. Rush Limbaugh, hillbilly heroin. Roll it over on your tongue. It's like wine, you know what I mean? It's great. You couldn't get any better. You know, surreptitious drug deals in parking lots.
Yeah.
Email. First of all, you have to know that the guy was drug-addled to do email.
Oh, my God.
I mean, because his housekeeper just sat there and printed him off and put him in a file and said, you know, someday this is going to make me a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know, and
absolutely.
I just think it is perfect. I didn't think the Jimmy Swaggart thing could be topped. Remember Jimmy Swaggart?
Yeah,
you know, a guy was making like $20 million a year telling us how we ought to live our lives, and then we find out he's trolling truck stops in Baton Rouge for $10 hookers.
Boy, didn't Satan pinch his head off.
Boy, I'll tell you what, it's karma. It's wonderful. It can't get any better. And I hope that Rush Limbaugh goes down, and I hope he goes down hard, because nobody in this country deserves it more than that fat pig.
That's true. And he's got lots of money. He'll live the life of a multimillionaire, a neo-Nazi for the rest of his life. So nobody has to worry about that. Nobody's turning him out on the street. But I just wonder if this unconscionable bastard is going to learn a lesson. Most of us, if we go through something like this, you know, how the mighty fall. But if we go through something like this down on our level, there are lessons to be learned. I just wonder if the pig man is going to learn anything from this except that somehow he'll try to say it was Clinton's fault.
Well, of course it's Clinton's fault. I mean, somewhere in this, I think Clinton was in office when OxyContin was patented.
There you go.
So there is a Clinton connection here.
There it is.
But, you know, I don't know if he'll learn a lesson. I seem to think that the man's incapable of learning a lesson. I don't think he knows what humility and humbleness and stuff like that is.
I don't either. I don't think he knows that, nor does he know truth, nor does he understand issues. What he does know, what he's a master at, is taking people who have no opinion of their own and manipulating them into a force for destruction. And that's what he's done with his ditto heads.
Absolutely. And if there's 20 million of them out there, I just want them to eat this for breakfast, because I think that, you know, the fraud has been exposed. The emperor has no clothes. And, you know, Al Franken brought up a very, very good point. If he is going to work a 12-step program, which he will have to do if he wants to really get off this stuff,
mm-hmm.
Which I don't think he does, because he's been through rehab twice.
Right.
And, you know, and incidentally, here's a man that has the financial wherewithal that he has, and you're going to tell me that he bypassed, you know, what is relatively simple spinal surgery these days to just stay on the OxyContin?
Right, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, and his neck hurts, but he plays golf all the time. Yeah, oh, okay.
You tell me.
These are the rationalizations.
2 minutes under the knife for some more dope.
Yeah.
I don't know.
These are the rationalizations. I think any of us who have gone through any chunk of slice of our life with an addict, I said on the air the other night, I had a very close friend who was an addict, so close that we lived together, and I wound up in Al-Anon in order to learn how to deal with her addictions. Uh-huh. And what Al-Anon teaches you is very simple. You have to detach. Either you detach from your partner's addiction or you detach from your partner. I decided to detach from the partner, and it was a miserable, nasty, ugly situation. But what I learned from that was my first real close personal up close exposure to an addict, somebody that I was involved with. And what I learned was nothing takes a front seat where it concerns drug addiction.
Absolutely.
People will give up relationships, they'll give up their parents, they'll give up their siblings, they'll give up their spouse, I wasn't married to this person, but they will give up their business, their house, their car, everything in order to get that drug.
Absolutely.
And I watched that happen. I had heard about it. I've seen the movies. You know, I saw Days of Wine and Roses, and I thought, oh, poor Jack Lemmon, Lee Remick.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought I understood addiction. I've read about it. I've seen it. But to experience it like that, to see someone that at the time I cared about willing to throw everything, including me, down the toilet in order to maintain the addiction. It was astonishing. I had never seen that before. And I'll tell you frankly, what it did was scare the hell out of me.
Well, it's a terrible, terrible thing.
I've never seen anything with that kind of power, with one exception. I've also known people who were involved in cults. And
it's
the only thing that comes close.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that explains most of his 20 million listeners.
There you go.
And, you know, there's only one thing I hope. I hope that the prosecutor in Palm Beach County is a very liberal Democrat. I hope he's an extremely liberal Democrat that is building a tremendous case, because the fact of the matter is possession of what, if proven true, Rush Limbaugh was buying carries a minimum mandatory sentence.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, we've got John Ashcroft that thinks that minimum mandatory sentencing is a great idea.
Yeah, and already you're, not for his nephews, but already you're hearing, well, we don't go after the user. Well, if the user's Rush Limbaugh, I guess not. The other thing, if this district or this county or whatever he or she is, if the prosecutor in this case is not familiar with bulletproof Mylar jackets, he or she better get familiar with it. Because I'll guarantee you, Todd, as we're sitting here, the death threats are already being emailed to this prosecutor's office. Because Limbaugh fans are, for the most part, are psychopaths. They're just crazy.
I would love to get over on Free Republic. I'm sure the servers are probably melting down over there.
Oh, well, a couple people on Democratic Underground who did go to Free Republic today said it's just one great big group hug over there. They're all standing around going, oh, God. Oh, our poor Rush. Oh, let's,
it wasn't his fault.
Let's love him. It must be Clinton. Let's love him back to, oh, God, gag me with a Coke spoon, huh?
Well, I just hope this guy sees a little jail time. I hope he falls hard because he deserves it. You know, he's talked the talk for so many years. Let him walk the walk.
Yeah.
How many poor people are sitting in prison today because they were nothing more than drug users?
Oh, my God. If we took out the drug users, not the big-time dealers, the users took them out of prison. Jesus. I mean, wouldn't the prison population in this country diminish by about 40 or 45% tomorrow morning?
At least.
Yeah. Well, Limbaugh is a rich white man, a mega-rich white man, and a mega-rich white man seldom, if ever, goes to jail.
Well, I hope Premier's lawyers are preparing their case right now, because I hope they yank this guy's contract. I hope he has to sell his nice big mansion down in Palm Beach, and I hope he has to live with the people that he's been demagoguing for years.
I hear that.
All right, buddy.
Thanks for checking in, Todd.
Okay, Mike, you have a good one. Keep it up.
All right, sir. You too. Appreciate your call. Yeah, the Limbaugh made a big deal. It was either on his program or in the Playboy interview about white drug users who had been getting a free pass, and it's time to stop giving white drug users a free pass. And also remember, if you will, during the so-called Republican Revolution, when that filthy, degenerate hypocrite, Newt Gingrich, together with Rush Limbaugh, put a knife in the heart of our political system, immediately, what was that, the 106, 103rd Congress or whatever, one of the first things they did when they were all sworn in was to make Rush Limbaugh an honorary member of the 104th, 105th Congress, whatever it was, in 1994. They stampeded over each other to get a resolution passed making Rush Limbaugh an honorary member of Congress, because, as they all freely admitted, in that freshman class in 1994, what was it, 78 new Republicans, they had used Newt Gingrich's word list to demonize and denigrate and defile our system, to call Democrats and liberals every filthy name in the book, to completely jack around people's minds. That's what these Republican punk candidates did on the ground. Meantime, over the air, Rush Limbaugh kept up a steady, unending drumbeat, day after day, week after week, month after month. Limbaugh and Gingrich, they destroyed our system. I hope the fat bastard burns in hell. I swear before God, no mercy for this thug at all. He is one of the worst diseases ever to flood into this country. God, I hate him. The hideous influence that this man has had on our political process. Just almost unspeakable what he's done. It's just awful.
Oh, oh.
Paul is calling from Ellensburg, Washington. Paul, welcome to the program. Your first time calling?
Yes, and I haven't been listening to your program that long, but thanks for having me on, Mike.
Sure. My pleasure.
I've just been paying attention to what's going on in the political world the past year.
Yeah.
And just every conservative getting a pass and how it's going. When they do character attacks on Democrats, it's considered righteous. And
right.
When Democrats do character attacks on conservatives, it's considered demonizing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just get fed up with the double standard. And I just got two quick things to say. One is sort of a philosophical question for you that hopefully you can answer for me.
I'll try.
If a conservative falls in the woods, does the media make a sound?
in defense, just like who was it emailed into me? If this was Pete down in Lakeland. If this were a prominent African American, if this were an athlete, if this were a liberal or a Democrat who had been caught this way, a prominent liberal, a prominent Democrat, television would not be interviewing doctors about drug addiction. Television would be interviewing prosecutors and former judges and ex-narcs talking about locking the bastard up for the rest of his life. But because it's Limbaugh, you see, and because he totally intimidates these networks, this entire right-wing monster, this hydra-headed monster that exists in this country is so intimidating that Aaron Brown on CNN just almost wets his pants when one of these guys says that Rush Limbaugh is insidious. You know, Aaron Brown go, well, that's your word, not mine. Oh, Jesus, I don't want to be shot when I walked out of here tonight. But it's you know, you talk about a vast right-wing conspiracy. What the hell do you call it? Look what they're doing to Kobe Bryant. What is Kobe Bryant? I don't know Kobe Bryant from Adam's house cat. Never heard his name until all of a sudden wall-to-wall coverage about this trial, about the preliminary. Hell, they're not even in the trial, are they, Kathy? It's a preliminary hearing. You know, you take a black athlete who's accused by somebody of a sexual encounter. Jesus Christ, that's all we have. 24/7, Kobe Bryant, you're going down, nigger. But you look at somebody like Rush Limbaugh. Oh no, that's okay. He needs to get into rehab. Oh, we gotta save him. Thanks for checking in, Paul.
It can be, which is
why you want to feel really fast. I mean, the instant Maximum Strength Mylanta liquid hits your throat, you can feel it rushing right to where you need it.
Ah, the cool liquid hits the back of your throat, and you know you're feeling something
velvety smooth, soothing that burning inside you. Mylanta's wonderful, wet, drenching sensation
restores and refreshes in a most glorious fashion.
Try Maximum Strength Mylanta.
Soothing at the
speed of life.
When Ann and Mike began looking for their dream home, someone else was there to help make it a reality. While Ann took virtual tours on Realtor.com, someone was there to check comparable listings. While Mike was searching for their homeowner's policy, someone was there to preview houses as they came on the market. And when Ann and Mike found their dream, someone else was there to make sure it didn't slip away. When you're ready to buy a home, work with someone who'll work with you. We're Realtors. Real estate is our life. Only Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Hmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, man, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Hey, look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
The Mike Molloy Show.
Apparently, Simple Scotty missed the memo from Bush stating that everybody had to stop trying to link Saddam to 9-1-1.
The most dangerous threat we face in a post-September 11th world is the nexus between outlaw regimes with weapons of mass destruction and terrorists. Saddam Hussein had a history of weapons of mass destruction.
Maybe before you were born, you little jackass. Did Scotty not get the memo? There is no connection between 9/11 and Saddam. It came out of the Bush bastard's own mouth. It's come out of all their mouths. Condi Rice, Dick Cheney, Colin Powell, all of them. Scotty, hello.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Did you pick up your phone book the other day and almost get a hernia because of all the lawyer ads? Do you panic when you turn on the television and there is another lawyer encouraging you to call him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to find out who you can sue and what your rights are? Well, you don't need that anymore. But you know, you don't get your surgeon out of the yellow pages. And you don't need a retainer fee to listen to me. The Legal Huddle is your one-stop radio shop for everything you would ever want to know about the American legal system. I'm Ed Zelenak. I've been a prosecutor, bandleader, foreign diplomat, and advisor to presidential candidates. And as your host of the Legal Huddle, I'm uniquely qualified to answer everything you ever wanted to know about the law but were afraid to ask. And you know, if I don't know the answer, I'll make one up. You can call me with your questions, your comments, your opinions, and your feelings about our judiciary. And you know something? I will never hold you in contempt of court in the Legal Huddle. So join me and a cast of thousands here in the Legal Huddle, Sunday mornings, 9 until 11, on the IE America Radio Network.
Here comes your worst nightmare. It's Mike Molloy.
Actually, the worst nightmare for conservatives now is Rush Limbaugh, right? Eh? Five before the hour, quick email here from Shirley in Wisconsin. And if you're on hold, stick around. You know we have a break coming up here, but we'll get your call. From Shirley in Wisconsin. Mike, what an irony. This is the week that Bush, Condoleezza Rice, and Dick Cheney tried to go on the offensive to sell their justification for war in Iraq. And it's been timed to flow the entire week into the Sunday talk shows. And now the Limbaugh mess has pushed everything off the map. I can see Rove now going utterly mad, pulling what little hair he has left out of his fascist head, one strand at a time. Do you think Rove will let Limbaugh get away with this, or will Rove have something to leak to Novak? Could be an interesting column coming from the Chicago Sun-Times, Shirley in Wisconsin. Yeah, she makes a very good point. This was the week that all of these lying bastards in the Bush crime family were out there justifying the war. All this little shuffling back. Oh, we're going to make Condi Rice now. We're going to diminish the power of Rumsfeld. No, we got to cover our ass now. You know, the American public are tired of seeing, 5, 10, 18 Americans killed every week. Well, you know, they're just cogs in the big wheel. But we got to do something, so let's justify the war. And along comes Limbaugh and pushes it all off the map. You got to love it. When you think how many times Karl Rove and these thugs in the Bush White House have pushed discussion about critical issues
off the map with their machinations and their political trickery and treachery. When it comes back to bite them on the ass, that's the extra bonus in this Limbaugh story. Because, as Shirley points out, yes, this was the week. All to flow in to this Sunday's talk shows. Watch what happens this Sunday. Who's going to be out there, Kathy? Will it be Condoleezza Rice? Will it be maybe they'll resuscitate Dick Cheney? Maybe it'll be Wolfowitz. Maybe Colin Powell. Colin Powell for sure. They'll have all of these lying, warmongering, murderous bastards all over CBS, ABC, CNN, NBC, yada, 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 yada. But you know what all America wants to talk about? Rush Limbaugh is a pillhead thug criminal. Sorry, Carl. Sometimes you eat the bear, and sometimes the bear eats you. Stick around.
To Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
On Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows till you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld canceled a news conference Thursday in part to avoid questions about whether the White House recently reduced his role in Iraq's reconstruction, Pentagon and NATO officials said. The White House said Monday it is creating an Iraq stabilization group to be headed by National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice, which will be responsible for handling the day-to-day administration of Iraq. He was questioned at Wednesday's NATO press briefing about his relationship with Rice, a memo she circulated establishing the new Iraq stabilization group, and whether he was in the loop. Rumsfeld was scheduled to brief reporters at a meeting of NATO defense ministers in Colorado. The defense secretary has said everything he has to say about it, Pentagon officials said. Slipping in the polls on the eve of an election year, President Bush forcefully defended his handling of post-war Iraq and the economy Thursday in a visit to the nation's first presidential primary state. Bush recast his usual road remarks into a speech that portrayed him as a decisive leader who has dealt with challenges arriving from terrorist attacks, two wars, and an economy that slipped into recession shortly after he took office. But unwelcome news awaited Bush in the new poll at New Hampshire. The statewide survey found that 54% of adults approve of Bush's handling of Iraq, down from 64% in June, and for the first time, less than half, 46%, said they approved of his handling of the economy, according to a poll by the University of New Hampshire Survey Center. Nationally, Bush's approval ratings have dropped to the lowest levels of his presidency in recent weeks. Virtually every food product in the United States will soon have to be registered along with its supplier as part of the fight against terrorism. Figuring that the best way to protect the nation's food supply is to keep better tabs on it, the government is requiring some 400,000 facilities in the United States to register themselves and their products with the Food and Drug Administration. In addition, anyone importing food from abroad will have to give regulators advance notice before its arrival. 2 hours for food shipments coming across the border by truck, 4 hours if aboard planes or trains, and 8 hours if by ship. More news after this.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black, and if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today won't be around for our children and grandchildren. The Earth's resources are limited. Voluntary family planning improves health while helping slow population growth, and that's good for our planet. Help build a healthy future for us all. Visit www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
The House of Representatives on Wednesday voted to change a law that has required wounded members of America's armed forces to pay for their own meals while recuperating at U.S. military hospitals. The House voted 399-0 to permanently scrap the requirement that service members reimburse the government $8.10 a day out of their own pockets for the food they eat while in treatment for their injuries.
For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
While Mike was putting up his own for sale sign, someone was helping his neighbors, John and Diane, with plans to sell their home. As Mike spent Saturday figuring out legal agreements and guessing his home's value, someone was preparing a counteroffer so John could help at the school fundraiser. And while Mike and his wife were reevaluating their asking price for the third time, someone was closing the sale on John and Diane's home. Work with someone who will work with you. We're realtors. Real estate is our life.
What is the price of a city soul? The top bid so far is $166 million. That's the sum that one company has paid to get corporate branding rights to New York City. In accepting the cold cash, Mayor Michael Bloomberg has callously changed this great city's slogan from the Big Apple to the Big Snapple, having now made the British-owned beverage conglomerate the official drink of New York. The Snapple deal is but one of a sweeping and smarmy sell-off of the proud city sold to assorted brand-name hucksters. To handle the devilish deals, Bloomberg has even hired a chief marketing officer who blithely proclaims that this is the start of a select number of really high-quality partnerships. High quality? Check it out. For its cash, Snapple will get the exclusive right to place its vending machines in all city properties, starting with New York's 1,200 public schools. The claim is that Snapple's fruit blends, Yoo-hoo drinks, canned water, and iced tea are better for kids than, say, Coca-Cola, which has been banned from the city's schools for nutritional reasons. But hold your empty-calorie, sugar-loaded concoctions right there, say nutritionists. It turns out that Snapple's fruit drinks have even more calories and sugar than Coca-Cola does. The Center for Science in the Public Interest reports that the Snapple drinks are pretty much the same as a 12-ounce Coke. And as for Snapple's cans of water, one nutrition leader wonders why children are being charged to get a simple drink of H2O. Water is a right, she says, adding that New York is supposed to have the best tap water and we're asking children to pay a dollar for Snapple water. Mayor Bloomberg, however, is a corporate creature who can't even begin to grasp the concept of free water. He says, I don't think in this day and age we can take vending machines, or should, out of the schools. This is Jim Hightower saying, it's time to put the public back in our public schools and get the corporate profiteers out.
I have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector!
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back, 7 past the hour. Well, I've got to share this with you. If you're on hold, I'm coming to you in a second, but three listeners, Kevin, Skyrider, and Paul, have all sent this in. Over at Free Republic, the sewer that, if you're familiar with FreeRepublic.com, you know what I'm talking about. But listen to this. This was posted today, about 7 o'clock tonight, by Andy58 in New Hampshire, I guess. As the river of life flows along and we with it, we all learn to observe those landmarks along the banks that bind us to the shore, offering safe harbor and the comforts of home. For me, Rush Limbaugh has long been such a marker. As a conservative, frequently alienated from popular culture and subject to the hostility directed to those such as myself, Rush Limbaugh was a rock. A lighthouse shining through the fog of liberalism. I felt that way in 1989 when I first heard him on the air, and I feel that way today. Of course, I knew that many people shared my values when Ronald Reagan was elected, not once but twice. Yet, as odd as it may seem today, conservative voices were not often heard publicly in the 1980s, as the television and radio airwaves were still dominated by liberals. Today, I no longer feel alone. I am daily aware of many who share my ideas on the radio and on the internet. And a major contributor to the tidal change in our culture between then and now was a failed disc jockey by the name of Rush Limbaugh. Rush was something new. Brash and outspokenly conservative, but also humorous and lighthearted. I did not always agree with him, nor do I now. Reasonable people may disagree about much in life, yet Rush gave voice to those of us who felt shunned, almost guilty about being conservative, even though we believed with all our minds that we were right. I recall still the joy of discovering the voice of a kindred spirit, unrelentingly positive and enthusiastic, never surrendering to the fear and delusions of the moment, but instead offering ideas and hope and laughter as an antidote to the infantile leftism, which has grown even more dour and hostile since those times. He is also directly responsible for the popularization of modern conservatism, and by extension, for the proliferation of message centers like the one you are now visiting. No matter what fortune becomes him, I will always love them. Love the man for that. So as events now turn, Rush Limbaugh has revealed himself as, well, human. He is flawed, imperfect, capable of considerable self-deception, and occasionally weak in the face of moral and physical challenges. So am I. Who among us is not? To my knowledge and experience, Rush has been a font of strength and goodwill. And he has demonstrated repeatedly during his 15 years on the radio airwaves, he is frequently capable of perspicacity, humor, empathy, and great wit. How many of us could so perform repeatedly, spontaneously, in the known presence of millions? Rush knows he's responsible for his actions and has stated that responsibility rather than shirking it or choosing to blame it on the vicissitudes of fortune and the wiles of others. I was saddened to hear of his addiction and his pain. And I was heartened that he publicly proclaimed himself neither a victim nor a fool. He asked for no sympathy and begged no understanding. He stated his condition and his situation and offered no excuse. I wish him well. And I pray for his recovery. I owe him that much. And more. Oh, Rush. Rush! Rush, I love you, Rush! Oh, Rush! Oh, Rush, oh, you've been a guidepost on the river. Oh, my God. This reads like something out of Bridges of Madison County, doesn't it? Huh? He draped over her like a leopard. Oh, no, don't get me started on that again. Rush, I love you. Rush. Oh, I don't care what you did. I don't care. You did what? You raped babies? Oh, Rush, I don't care. I just love you. You're human. Well, hell, I've wanted to rape babies many times, Rush. Oh, Rush, I love you, Rush. I love you. I love you. I love you. Oh, what am I going to do? See, these are all junkies. And all of a sudden, their daily fix is gone. You know what's going to happen, truth seekers? The incidence of homicide and suicide is going to increase in this country over the next... Watch. By next week, how many workplace murders do you think are going to occur? 3? 12? Watch. Watch what happens. Because all of a sudden, these so-called 20 million junkies, addicts, rush suckers are not going to have their daily fix. They're going to have Hannity or whoever. Whoever they get to substitute for the pig man. And it ain't going to be the same. That's like offering Rush Valium. What? I need my OxyContin. I need my Vicodin. Valium? I piss Valium. What are you talking about? Watch what happens. The country is about to enter a mass crisis because you're going to have as many as 20 million people going through serious withdrawal. Not only withdrawal, these poor bastards won't know how to think. They won't know which way to turn. They won't know... Rush, what do I do? Oh, Christ, please help me. Rush, Rush, Rush. Where's my guidepost on the river? Where's my safe harbor? Where's the leopard draping over her body like a ghost? Oh, perspicacity. Oh, my God. Oh... This is, I didn't realize the Freepers were this sick. I know they're a bunch of jack-legged, foul-mouthed, potty-headed, brain-dead morons, but I didn't know. Oh, Rush, as we float down the river of what? I don't know. Swamp, bile, garbage, urine, feces. I always had a tree over there on the shore where I could park my canoe, and the tree was Rush, and... I want to gaze upon your amplitude and your pulchritude. Oh, my God. What am I going to do now with the Rush cam on the EIB pay site? I won't be able to gaze at you now. Oh. This is disgusting. This, you know, I'm going to have to go home tonight and purge. You know, I really am. Boy, it's castor oil and a finger down the throat, man. I've, oh, God. FreeRepublic.com. You sorry pissants. Oh, God, you people are just, you are funny. Whew. All right, calm down. All right, here's Pete in Lakeland, Florida. Hey, Pete.
Hey, man, I want to be on the medication that last emailer was on.
Can you believe that? Well, it wasn't an email. It's posted. I had four people send it to me from the Free Republic chat or whatever the hell they call it. What do you call it? Forum. Okay. Where all these Republicans over there, these Freepers, are I don't know, they're just losing it. You know,
yeah,
they're just
Prozac, man.
they're just peeing all over themselves about Russia's gone. Get me started again.
Hey, they're okay, though. They know reality. You know, I wanted to cover reality and fantasy. You know, fantasy is actually Rush doing 5 years in Stark.
Mm-hmm.
5 years. He would get so much love and it wouldn't even be funny.
Oh, they'd love him to death.
You'd have to move down here just so you could do live reports while he gets on the grass-cutting crew so we could watch him down 75 with all the ditto heads. I mean, just close your eyes and watch him haul and brush, Rush Limbaugh. It would be pay-per-view. The prison system would be just great. But in all reality, it's Rush is going to be treated like Bob Novak, not like Peter Arnett.
Yeah.
You know, Peter Arnett had an interview once in a lifetime, middle of a war, went on Iraqi state TV, talked to Saddam Hussein.
Right.
Embassy fired him.
Oh, yeah.
Robert Novak, outs a CIA agent, you know, we're in a time of war.
Mm-hmm.
He still got a job.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, now the real freepers, if it would have been Peter Arnett who did the same thing, would be screaming for Ashcroft to take him down to Gitmo Bay and torture the hell out of him to find out who the leaker was.
Yeah.
But we're living in, you know, fantasy land and reality are two different things.
Absolutely.
But, I mean, and that's the thing with, the Bob Novak. But can you imagine, though, Rush? I mean, even the prosecutor, I heard a little bit of that tape that you had.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the prosecutor's got to be careful putting Rush in prison. Let me tell you.
Or even pursuing a case against him.
Against him. Let me tell you. The minorities, it'll be like East L.A. when they start cracking down on the minorities again for these minimum mandatories.
Yeah.
I mean, in Miami and that, they see a double standard. And like my email said, too, I don't want to see any more doctors. I want to see Bill Bennett. I want to see the drug czar on there. I want to say 7 to 10 years, minimum mandatory. I mean, Tommy Chong's going up the river for selling glass.
Yeah, really, really.
Not 4,000 pills. What would have happened if he was picking up 4,000 marijuana plants? I'll tell you what, they'd be seizing that mansion right now. I swear to God, they'd have got Rush at 2 o'clock in the morning, bare-ass naked, hauled him outside, and said, look at our new mansion. You know, this is going to build a new police center when we sell this.
Right, right.
I mean, RICO Act, has anybody heard of RICO? They got to take everything. And think about all the people at Clear Channel and EIB that have to take a piss test all the time.
Sure.
How did Rush walk for 5 years?
Sure.
How many guys do you think got fired for flunking the test at the same time they hit the world's biggest junkie on the air in 600 markets?
It's just incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. And the real sad thing is, if they would fire him, somebody would pick him up and double his salary.
Probably.
But
he'll wind up on WOR in New York City. They love to take the real pigs.
Well, and if he really screws up, you know, MSNBC would find a time slot. And
oh,
fill
yeah.
with Fox.
Absolutely, in a heartbeat. Pete, thanks for checking in, Bill. All right, sir. Quick break. We'll be right back.
One little problem that confronts you. Got a monkey on your back. Just one more fix, love. One hell of a price for you to get your kid.
Hell yeah!
Ooh, that smell. Can't you smell that smell?
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Mmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, man, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get your stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
Tom Hartman Show.
We have Bob in Texas. It's called Bob. Welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
You know, it's just wonderful to hear your show. I got the Sirius satellite radio because of this channel, and your show is worth every cent of it.
Well, thank you.
It's really nice to hear a radio show that, for one thing, you don't have to throw things at, you know, after a little while. You're talking about ideas and about historical context of what's going on, and that's so important. You don't hear this kind of intellectual, this level of thought anywhere else on the radio, and I sure appreciate it. But the big thing I keep worrying about is we have to, I mean, I think Al Franken's right in that we have to, we've been taking it and we've been taking it, and they've slimed us for so many years, and we can't take it anymore.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to animal talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You hate me?
Why don't
you
put something on that says he's a great goof, liberal?
Goof?
You know, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
Spin Free Radio, only with Mike Malloy.
I need a break beat.
Yo, another one bites the dust. She said she loved me. She was a spy who lied. Another one bites the dust.
Right.
I love you, Raj.
All right, 800-TALK, yes. We're just having way too much fun tonight. Wally is calling from Delaware. Hey, Wally.
Oh, man, that was awesome. I wet my pants more than Aaron Brown does when confronted by some controversy. What a jellyfish that guy is, huh?
Oh, isn't he?
Hey, Mike, occasionally could you read from the Free Republic while Kathy plays some, like, lame-ass Toby Keith or Charlie Daniels music in the background?
That's not a bad idea.
Okay.
Well, they're waxing very poetic over there all of a sudden. And a whole bunch of people from Democratic Underground and not from Democratic Underground are sending me little snippets of what they're saying at the Free Republic, and it is just the most pathetic bathos I think I have ever been exposed to on a website. This stuff is really that one I read, that guy obviously used his spell check. Man, that was really something.
We're Whoa. Having fun, but does this feel like justice to you? Because it doesn't to me.
No, this is just the kick his ass while he's down part.
He's the biggest, fattest horseman of the apocalypse. He's the architect of everything that's wrong with this country in a major way, if you ask me.
Well, he certainly has a hand in it. He's certainly the minister of propaganda to make sure that the destruction of this country continues right on schedule as far as corrupting the way Americans think. You're absolutely right. I like that. He's the fifth horseman of the apocalypse, huh?
And the fattest.
Well, you know, he's not all that heavy anymore. What happened was...
That's a big fat head.
Fat head, yeah. A couple of people pointed out he started that dramatic weight loss just about the time he went up to 100 oxys a day.
But the thing I hate, the thing I personally resent amongst the many things about him and his ditto head legions is it isn't just the media they've overtaken. It's public discourse, your day-to-day life.
Exactly.
You know, the double standard where, if some wingnut spouts off about something Clinton did, liberal media, taxes,
right.
blah, 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 ad infinitum.
Mm-hmm.
It's all right for that person to be as offensive and in your face as they want because they're just being forthright.
Sure.
If you or I say something like, you know, this war in Iraq, that's a bad idea.
We're terrorists.
Yeah, you're a shrill terrorist.
And you're Saddam. What, you love Saddam? What, you want to go have sex with Saddam? Is that what you want to do? Huh? You know, we got boys over there fighting and dying, so you can say that kind of garbage. Huh?
And this is the guy that's legitimized all those people.
I know. It's I've said it a million times. People are tired of hearing it. But he is, he, as far as I'm concerned, in terms of individuals, this guy is the single most destructive force in this country right now. Now, somebody say, no, Malloy, it's Rumsfeld. No, it's
nope.
Bush. But
nope.
I'm talking about the guy inside this country, just like a cancer inside a human body, like a snake. He's the one doing the damage inside this country, and it's just it's horrifying what this pig has done.
And also, isn't he the one that made extreme right-wing fanaticism equal conservatism?
Oh, he is indeed. He and Newt Gingrich.
He and Newt Gingrich.
Yeah,
the Karl Marx of
Well, they're Trotskyites,
yeah.
You know, always war, always fear, always manipulate the public with fear and distrust. And, you know, let's have somebody reporting, a block captain on every block who reports on the activities of the neighborhood. You know, did she go out to the grocery store at 3 o'clock today or was it 2:15? I hate these people. I hate them, Wally.
I know, Mike. Chris Matthews is still going to hell, by the way.
Oh, of course he is. Of course he is. But that'll be after Jesus pinches his head off, toss it into hell so the demons can use it as a soccer ball. Hey, Wally, have a nice evening.
You too, Mike.
All right, sir. Take care. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Shoes upon his feet, Granny's eye. I said that cat is high. Yes, it's high. Granny's higher than a guy.
Spot, 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 mama. Look at that little guy. You know I won't lie. That's higher than a guy. Boy, it's high. Oh, look at that guy.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
More startling revelations in a case involving two former workers at an IBM disk drive factory in California. They're suing the company for exposing them to toxic chemicals, which they say gave them cancer. A couple of weeks ago, the company inadvertently released a mortality study, which confirms that IBM knew its workers were afflicted with various cancers at rates higher than the general population. This week, worker questionnaires were made public. Dozens of workers have complained about headaches, blackouts, and other health problems while working around the chemicals used to make disk drives. And in their questionnaires, they say they asked management about the health issues but got the runaround instead. The trial in the California case is scheduled to begin on Tuesday.
Chicago began digging out from under 9 days' worth of garbage yesterday. Trash collectors with the Teamsters Union settled a strike with 17 of the Windy City's private waste disposal contractors. 3,300 waste haulers will see wages and benefits increase by 28% over the five-year contract, including an immediate dollar-per-hour raise. Previously, wages for trash haulers were as low as $10 an hour. The city's public trash collectors will assist as the Teamsters members try to move a mountain of backlogged garbage by Monday, just in time for the return of the Chicago Cubs to Wrigley Field.
An unconventional lobbying campaign involving the Amish has begun in Congress. They're asking that Amish children be exempted from federal labor laws. Many Amish begin apprenticeships in various crafts, usually after finishing the eighth grade. They say federal child labor laws restrict the duties Amish children can perform as apprentices, which violates their constitutional right to freedom of religion. The bill, H.R. 1943, currently has 41 co-sponsors in the House, but there's no companion bill in the Senate yet.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Xie xie is thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really, Nancy?
Fan ji la is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Fan ji la.
You know everything.
Xie xie.
I should have watched MSNBC.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Now, the man conservatives love to hate. It's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. Hey, we're getting way behind here, getting way behind. Robert, our L.A. correspondent, is checking in. Hey, Robert.
Hey, Mike. Now you wonder why they call him Russ.
Yeah, even I figured it out.
Yeah, it just is. We was wondering, where did he get the name? But, oh, now we figure it out.
I thought he was named after that kind of half-assed rock band from the late 70s, 80s. Remember Rush?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember them.
Yeah, well.
Wasn't no big fan of them, but, you know, hey, whatever.
Right.
You know, actually, when I think about Rush, I think about Freddy Krueger killing somebody in one of those Nightmare on Elm Street movies.
Yeah.
That what a rush.
Yeah.
So it all makes perfect sense. But, you know, real quickly, you know, you're dealing with these issues of these right-wing conservative wackos that pretty much has been spawned by the Rush Limbaugh phenomena,
mm-hmm.
you know, his success. And Mike, I've really been thinking about this for the longest time. You know, I'm just like, it seems to me, ever since Bush got elected, or probably even more, maybe even help me out with this, but it really appears that instead of having any type of meaningful, objective, cool debate, I think it's more of a situation where we have a group of people out there, including the unelected president, who has resorted into all this emotional,
mm-hmm.
reactionary crop drop to where, like we, you know, this has been said over and over like a tape recorder, you know, that it's been making it difficult for any type of dissent.
Well, not just dissent, Robert. I would say any type of discussion. As soon as you want to discuss an issue on a factual level with these right-wingers, that's why I gave it up. They immediately fall back into rush speak. You're unpatriotic.
Right.
What are you? Sympathy with the terrorists?
Right.
Oh, what? I guess you're happy that 3,000 people got killed on September 11th.
You know, it truly doesn't make any sense. It's just completely irrational, and it's just like, you know, it's to the point where, listen, you know, if that's how the way they want to talk, so be it. I don't have to invite that type of nonsense. However, putting another spin on this,
mm-hmm.
I think, you know, you have people like Limbaugh, or even more so Bill O'Reilly, and I hope that you brought up what happened on NPR's Fresh Air.
Oh, well, I played it. We played the sound of Terry Gross and O'Reilly. O'Reilly making a total jackass out of himself. Well, he is a jackass. And walking off the program. Yeah, we played all that sound the other night.
Yeah.
Where were you, Robert?
What can I say?
We had great fun with it. But anyway.
It was completely asinine. But, it to me, people like O'Reilly and Rush, you know, they'll sit up there and talk about the moral high ground of what's good for our kids.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm a single father. I have a four-year-old little girl, and I am doing my best. You know, I don't know about her mother, but I know I'm trying to do the best I can to show her, you know, decency, try to show her how the way to handle situations, handle problems and stuff, and just try not to be influenced by all the negative things that go on outside in this world.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and you have the O'Reilly's talking about, you know, don't let your kids listen to hip-hop. Don't let your kids listen to watch MTV. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, well, what's the alternative? Listen to you? You know perfectly well that anybody who talks to you in a sensible manner, who disagrees with you, you're gonna light their ass up like a Christmas tree?
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? It's just, you know, like I said, it's just become a situation where they have become completely irrational, and no, I mean absolutely no accountability will be taken whatsoever.
That's right.
Not from O'Reilly, and certainly hell not from Rush.
That's
once
right.
He gets his ass back into the radio station, which he will. We all know that.
Well, I'm not so sure, Robert. I'm not so sure. I was saying earlier in the program, every single radio contract, a television contract out there, contains what is called the moral turpitude clause, that if somebody who is behind a microphone or in front of a camera, you get involved, even the appearance of something involving what they call, it's an old phrase, moral turpitude, you know, peeking in windows at night, doing drugs, sleeping around, getting caught in an adultery suit, molesting children, public sex, you know, your ass is gone. And there's no recourse because there's no appeal.
Mike, supposedly, there's supposedly no recourse, no type of sympathy whatsoever. But you, come on, hello. Bush is America. These neocons will do it. Will stop at nothing.
Well, I understand, and we'll see now if the rules apply, because if Premier Radio Networks, which is owned by Clear Channel, if they put this pissant back on the air, then every single employee in radio who has ever lost a contract because they were accused of something, it has a lawsuit, has a case, and it will demonstrate the utter and absolute hypocrisy of Limbaugh and his whole gang.
Yeah, it will, you know, hey, they will continue to be hypocrites whatsoever, and I have my doubts, but, you know, that's just me. But, yo, Mike, you have a good weekend. I'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Robert.
Peace.
Thanks for checking in, man. Appreciate it. That is the truth. There is no such thing as a radio contract without a moral turpitude clause to it. And, you know, I said on this program when the story first broke, I had to take two P-tests just to get hired at ABC, WLS in Chicago, twice.
Why twice, Mike?
Well, because the first one they said, you know, I thought I'd flushed all the stuff out of my system, but they said it was because they got the wrong the wrong Social Security number on the test. I had to take it again. I'm just kidding. Oh, for God's sake. Susan is calling, one of our over-the-road truckers who listens on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Susan.
Hi, Mike. This is like, I don't know. I call it butter on my toast. There ain't nothing to make me happier.
Butter on your toast. All right.
Butter on my toast. I wanted to say a couple things. Number one, I predict that he is not going to lose his show because that boy is going to give him a pardon or give him immunity. If he can say it never happened.
Mm-hmm.
Then I predict Brother George, is going to get a hold of Rush and take him to church and cure him of his addiction.
Oh, praise Jesus.
Oh, just like George got rid of his drinking problem.
Amen.
And I think that what makes me mad is this man has not failed once, twice. This is his third time going into detox. Can you say Robert Downey Jr. and Rush Limbaugh in the same sentence?
You know, that'd make a good opening line to a joke. Here you go. Robert Downey Jr., Courtney Love, and Rush Limbaugh walk into a bar. Now, go ahead and finish it, you know.
Oh, my gosh, yes. I mean, at least they got something in common. But, of course, you see, Courtney is going to court for getting busted for being drunk.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, this man has gone out. Number one, he's going to blame his doctor. Oh, my doctor prescribed this. Excuse me, this is an opiate. This is a controlled substance.
Yeah.
Unless his doctor had the ethics of Elvis Presley's doctor, He did not give him unlimited prescriptions.
No, he was buying them in a parking lot from his maid, hundreds, thousands of them.
Exactly.
So at Denny's in West Palm or someplace. Jeez.
Right. And if I was on a drug and my prescription ran out and I realized I was having a little problem living without it,
yeah.
I think not 5 years down the road, go to my doctor and say, hey, doc, you know, I need a little help here. I think that was the time he should have gone.
Yeah, I think so. You know,
this man is a joke.
You know, I want to make it clear again, Susan, because what you said just jiggered my memory here. Not memory, but earlier what I said on the program, and I just want to state it again. This is not about drug addiction. This is about hypocrisy. You know, I have a great sympathy and compassion for people who are struggling with addiction. I don't care if it's nicotine addiction or crack or heroin or diet. Do they still make diet pills? Whatever it is, addiction is awful. It is horrifying. And I am not celebrating Rush Limbaugh's addiction. What we are attacking tonight is the blatant, filthy, disgusting, contemptible hypocrisy that this man represents. He defines the word hypocrisy. He is a thug. He is a threat to this republic. And I wish him nothing but failure after failure after failure. What the hell are we supposed to do? I mean, when Adolf Hitler blew his brains out in the bunker as the Russians were closing in on Berlin, did we all stand around and say, oh, the poor guy was misunderstood as a child? No, we said good riddance to this pissant. And that's exactly how I feel about Rush Limbaugh. Not to that extent. Rush Limbaugh is not Hitler. He's much worse. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh yeah, he's Mr. Propaganda,
right,
and all that. The thing too about Rush is, this is a man that's like, oh, you all, you Democrats, you bleeding heart liberals, you deserve everything you get.
Mm-hmm.
When they come and they hold you up and they mug you on the street to get your drug money, blah, 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 blah. Well, who's been holding us up and holding up the American people for years to get his drug money?
There you go.
I figured it out. This man's been doing these drugs, say, conservatively 5 years.
Yeah, 5-6 years, right.
Okay. How long has he been? He made a quarter of $1 billion in the last 8 years.
Well, he signed a contract about a year and a half ago for $250 million over the next eight, yeah.
Okay, over the next eight. So mm-hmm. They're paying him how much a year?
About
to
30,
be a junkie?
About $32 million.
I mean, hey, I don't understand. You know, I mean, why couldn't he have done his drug buying in Canada? You know, if this is a prescription drug,
right,
and you can't afford to go to the regular pharmacy, go to Canada and buy it. But obviously it's not a prescription drug. The man kept calling it a prescription. I listened very carefully. I'm in a truck. I don't get to listen to everything. Your show was where I listened to it, and on CNN News on the Sirius.
Right.
I'm listening to what he's saying. My doctor prescribed this. This is how I got addicted.
Yeah, he's a lot.
I have pain in my neck. Hey, excuse me, 100, God bless it, OxyContin a day? You ain't got no pain. You ain't feel nothing. I could come up and stab you dead, and you'd be going, ha-ha, I'm having a good old time.
That's the truth, isn't it?
So where is the pain in his neck coming from?
Yeah, right.
And when the only time he could feel pain is when he tries to go off the drugs.
Yeah.
Because that's when he starts having pain. Now,
sure.
I want to tell you, you can talk to a lot of people with back problems.
Mm-hmm.
He could have gone to pain management centers.
Sure.
They don't give drugs there. They teach you how to mentally and physically control acute or chronic pain.
Right. And once you're addicted, though, you're addicted. And there are very clearly defined and scientific truths that one has to follow in order to break addiction. And breaking addiction is messy. It's painful, it's vomiting, it's diarrhea, it's gut cramps, it's headaches, it's back pain, it's screaming, it's spiders crawling all over your body, and it's hell to go through. And that's what the pig man has in store for him, if he's serious. And then he's got to go back and apologize to everybody that he dumped on, which is millions of people in this country. Hey, Susan, I got to move on. Thanks for checking
in. Hey, thanks again for the show. It's absolutely awesome.
Thank you, Susan. I appreciate that. This is not about addiction. And I think everybody who listens to this program, who tunes into this program, participates in this program, you understand that. We're not mocking addiction. Addiction is I don't know, is there anything worse for a living human being than to be addicted to a substance that eventually will kill you? Is there anything worse that you cannot break free from and against which you are going to lose? and rich white people who and I keep using the race, and that's because excuse me, of the unfairness and the non-justice in this society. I mean, didn't the United States Congress pass a law differentiating between crack and powder cocaine when any fool knows that powder cocaine is what white people use and crack is what black people use? Huh? Didn't we do that? Isn't the hypocrisy that deep? Wasn't there something like a 100-to-1 ratio? You had to have 1/100th as much crack in your pocket as you did powder cocaine to go to prison. And there's not a person sitting in a prison, black or white, who went to prison because of crack who doesn't understand that. And it's the same damn thing. Absolutely the same. But drug usage in this country has been racialized. It's been turned into a class issue. But rich white people do not go to jail for drugs. I don't care if they're manufacturing drugs. They don't go to jail. And some rich white person, a national celebrity like Rush Limbaugh, caught as a user in a drug sting, he ain't going nowhere. Trust me. Except into his rehab program, so that his lawyer can go to the judge and say, "Well, this is like a lawyer who has to defend somebody who just killed their parents," and the lawyer says, "But judge, he's an orphan." I know that's so old; it's got a beard on it. Roy is calling from Santa Fe. Hey, Roy.
Hey, Mike. Couple points. One, I agree with you on the addiction thing.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that kind of got covered up was the other terrorist, Pat Robertson, wanted to nuke the...
Yeah, we talked about that last night, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I missed it last night.
Yeah, they're all over the place. All over the place, these right-wing thugs, these murderous, drug-using killers. They're all over the place.
And then one of the other things that I hope that really comes out of this is the absolute fraud with the back surgery.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's a billion-dollar hustle by the medical department.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, sure it is.
The success rate of back surgery is less than 1%. That being said, though, see, it all happened. Here's the whole timeline, Mike. Rush had a cyst on his ass back in the 60s.
Right.
And that was a real problem. It got him out of the draft, but he started taking those heavy-duty aspirin.
Yeah. Hello? Where'd he go?
His phone died.
Roy, I guess Roy's phone died. Oh, my God. If you were calling me on a cell phone or whatever, Roy, you just disappeared. Alan is calling from New Jersey. Hey, Alan.
Hi, Mike. Mike, you know what one of the primary effects of opiate addiction is?
Hearing loss.
Constipation.
Constipation.
Explains a lot.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Yeah, but you know, it's just like I know something about pharmacology.
All right, can I get you to hold right there? Hold on the word pharmacology. You've got to take a break. I'll come right back to you as soon as we do the break. We shall return. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
We'll cut the debt and start a tet offensive on the poor. It's a mystery in the making.
Everybody!
It's distinctly upper class.
Well, not everybody.
Yes, sir, I'll get the door. Roll the carpet on the floor. For a man.
For a man.
For a man.
Such a man.
For a man. With his hand up his...
Ditto.
Ditto.
Ditto. Ditto.
Ask us the name of the king. It's Rush.
The great... Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Ugh. You'll sleep like a...
Okay, up there.
You'll sleep like
Need
a...
Need more tissues.
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red 90?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold. Medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing, Colace capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative, Colace capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, and you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817. The Washington Monthly.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple. Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show, where we serve you food with attitude, plus a heaping helping of humor.
And a playful pinch of romance.
It's all about food, family, and fun.
We'll help you juggle kids, kitchen, career, health, and relationships with passion and commitment.
We cover everything from new product reviews and consumer information to quick, simple, and easy recipes just for the two of you.
Plus parenting tips and tricks.
Cooking advice to save time and money.
Nutrition news and healthier living.
Entertainment options for the whole family.
And how to tag team manage kids, career, life, and relationships.
Plus, I'll tell you how to train your in-laws so they don't become outlaws.
So tune in every Sunday from 12 noon to 2 right here for the Cooking Couple Show.
And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, yum, one, two, four, and you.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
No, his mind is not for rent to any god or government. All he's hoping for is discontent. He knows changes are permanent. But changes.
Truth, justice, and the American way with Mike Malloy. Where else?
Five before the hour. Okay, mea culpa. Major apologies here about what I said about Rush and two of our listeners, David and Michelle, both really just a big brain fart on my part. David, yeah, the band, not the man. David emails in, Mike, I agree with you 99% of the time, but you're way off on Rush. Very profound, socially progressive lyrics and the finest percussionist I know of, Neil Peart. As a professional drummer, I got to tell you, no half-ass band here. Limbaugh does them a great disservice by sharing their name. And Michelle, Mike, you might consider apologizing to the Rush fans, the band, that listened to you for that off-the-cuff remark about the band. They're still active touring and are the poster boys for progressive rock and are politically active. Many progressives listen to Rush, the band, to the point of obsessed mania. I do apologize. Wow. I don't know. I don't know what happened to my brain. I guess I was not thinking of the band Rush, just something. But what is it, Kathy?
It's all the little blues.
Is that what it is? But Michelle and David, thanks for being so quick to call me on that one. Because, yeah, the band Rush is, groundbreaking. How's that? I do apologize. Like I said, major brain fart. You know, I'm getting to that point. Oh, wait, we left Alan on hold. Sorry, Alan, we have a minute.
I understand. But, you know, those OxyContins he was taking and all those other drugs were time release.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to take, one every 12 hours and keep the time release thing going.
Right.
And sooner or later, even if you're eating them, you're only going to get so high because of the process of titration in the body.
Right.
So, you know, the man was crushing them up and snorting them get higher.
Probably so.
Yeah. I mean, this
it's awful. Again, it's not about the addiction. It's about the hypocrisy. Rush took 465 times the normal dose, if we want to believe the...
It's staggering. Keith Richards is out there tonight going, there's a real man. All right. You have a good week.
Thanks. You too, Alan. I appreciate you checking. Yeah, Keith Richards is just jealous, isn't he? Some bitch, why can't I do that? The parking lot of Denny's. Program engineered tonight in Detroit by Jay Bilecki, produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. Mucho thanks to Mark Marshall, MaximumInteractive.com for our website, MikeMalloy.com, and our militant mods at the website. Check it out over the weekend, damn it. Go to the website. You'll love it. Also to Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief, mucho thanks. Y'all have a great weekend. I'll see you Monday, I hope. I really, really hope. I've got a date right now. I've got to meet somebody in the parking lot of a Denny's. Take care. I'm just kidding, of course. Have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time.
I think that was very nice.
I'm back in the saddle again.
There was a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you did this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only